across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. For those about to talk, we salute you. Talk Radio.
Thank you, George. Excellent show. I was flicking as I was driving in between George and another news-based radio station. No competition, man! No competition! Excellent show. 08444991000. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Setting up a studio and, there's nicely done. By setting up a studio, and by that I mean getting a computer out, putting a phone on Periscope. Oh, we're on Periscope tonight, guys. You can watch periscope.tv/Ian Lee, I-A-I-N-L-E-E, spell it properly. All Americans, when I send them an email, they reply, Dear Lane, what? So I've taken to writing my name in emails to Americans with a lowercase I, I-A-I-N. Do it lowercase so it's obvious. They still reply, Dear Lane. What the hell is wrong with that country? I've got a good mind to go back there and take it back. Anyway, in setting 08444991000, by the way, is the telephone number. We call you back. In setting up the studio, literally playing a song, putting a phone there and doing the lights and stuff, and I need to check the fans in a minute. I've put my back out. I've put my blooming, I say put it out. Just there. If you're watching on the internet, just there. What I need, and I don't mean this in a sexist way, but I need a woman about 5'6" to walk on me. I don't think the effect would be the same with a man. And I don't mean it in a kinky way. I mean it in a genuine massaging kind of way. I don't think the effect would be the same with a man, because men have got really big feet. Not all of them. Stupid. But having them, I remember when, where were we? We were staying on an Italian island, and it was in a nice hotel, and you could book a massage. And so my wife and I booked separate massages, as you do. And I was the first to go down there. And it was a bloke. It was a Swedish bloke. He was a beefcake. He was hunky. And he was really embarrassed. He said, oh, I am a man. I don't know what the Swedish... What the hello, the Swedish accent. Hello, I'm a man. And this is a little bit awkward because I normally do the massage for the women. And I went, I don't mind. I don't mind. It's not going to make me gay, is it? I don't know. And he felt really uncomfortable about mass. I said, come on, man, you must have massaged men before. No, you are my first man. And I said, give it to me hard. He was doing it all namby-pamby. If I'm going for a massage, right, it's a massage special, guys. If I'm going for a massage, I want to feel battered. I want it to feel like I've been to an S&M session, or how I imagine you'd feel after that, because I don't know. And there's a Thai massage place near me. And I go every now and then as a little treat. And do you know what? I might, when everyone, my family are going away for 3 weeks, when they go away, I might treat myself to a Thai massage, right? And they are women who are about 5 foot 6 tall, and they're amazing. What they can do is amazing. And it's a completely legit place, right? And I wait, 444-991-1000. Alan and John, stay there. Come to you in a minute. I want them to know, I've said this before, I had to buy special pants for it, for the massage, because I didn't want anything to fall out. Do you know what I mean? But they cover, put a towel over you, but still they lift your leg and push your leg up, and you just don't want... So I've got I think they're trunks. Are they trunks instead of boxers? So they're a little bit tighter around the leg. So there's no chance of, you know, anything falling out, or, you know, someone inadvertently looking straight down the leg and seeing, you know, the whatnots. And I wonder why I don't get any women calling. Oh, wait, 444-991-1000. Let's try and get some women calling this evening. But when I go and see these wonderful Thai women and massage me, you can't help but make involuntary noises like that, right? Because it's relaxing and it's releasing tension. And that manifests itself quite often in our vocal cords. You know, if your vocal cords relax, you go, oh, and air gets pushed, you go, oh, oh. And if it feels nice, oh, oh, like that. And I'm really uncomfortable making those noises when a woman is pleasuring me in the massage sense. I'm really trying not to sound seedy at all. And by doing so, I'm aware I'm making it sound even seedier. So what I do is, if those noises come out involuntarily, what I do is I'll then say something so that she knows, I know, this is a legitimate massage, that this isn't a mucky massage, you know, from the back of the local newspaper or phone booth. I know that she is a trained artist, trained in the art of massage. So I'll go, oh. And then to show her that I know this is legitimate, let's get, is that for us, that call? Is that for someone else? Rack them up, because we're going to rattle through them tonight. I will say, oh, that's, I'm really enjoying this massage. You are excellent. So that she knows that I know this is legitimate and there is nothing sexual about it, right? Because I would hate to demean her and her training by implying that I was expecting, what's the phrase? A happy finish. That's a horrible phrase. Well, no, it's quite a nice phrase. But why are we talking about this? I've got absolutely no idea. You started it, he said, shouting at the listener. That'll get him calling him. When I got the sack from the BBC, it's a little bit more complicated than that. And, of course, I've signed an NDA, so I can't tell you that I've even signed an NDA. Keep trying, because they'll come back. So it's a little bit more complicated than that. And but if you come and see me at one of my live events, maybe this Sunday, I'll tell you. I'm doing a live event this Sunday. Anyway, that's irrelevant. It was because I had a row with the right-wing Christian fascist. And in the report, the BBC Trust felt compelled. In the end, they came up with the fact I wasn't impartial. It took them 6 months. It wasn't what my boss told me I got the boot for. That was a different reason. But anyway, in the BBC Trust report, here comes Ed with a cup of tea.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Ed.
How's it going?
Yeah, good, man. Well, you've not been on the air for ages on my show, and I apologise for that.
Yeah, it's all right.
Well,
I'll get back to it, should I?
You'll get back to work. Go. Go! Get out of here, boy. Ed and Emma are here. Kath's off and Ed and Emma are here. And then if you phone up, you'll speak to them. And that's wonderful. In the report, they said Ian's combative style would prevent people from calling in. I've been doing phone-in radio for about 15 years, and I think I'm going to give you one. Thank you very much. It's going to be one of those shows tonight, dear listener. It's going to be one of those shows. We've got technology again tonight. We didn't for the last two nights. I've got it back. We've got Twitter, and we've got Facebook, and we've got the internet, and we've got Periscope and Texas and all of that stuff. Right. I prefer it if you interact via the phone. It'll be interesting to see. We had so many phone calls the last two nights. It'll be interesting to see if that rain continues. But I'm going to be honest with you. I am knackered. I am a husk of a man. I am a spent force. I've had an exhausting but wonderful day with my boys. And then I managed to get an hour's kip. But it was the deepest sleep I've had in a long time. And had I not made myself sit up in the bed at 6 o'clock this evening, I could have slept all the way through. All the way through. And I just feel, and I'm up early tomorrow, and I'm working Sunday. I'm knackered. I'm a husk. I'm a shell. I am spent and empty. Saying that, we've got 3 hours to kill. So, we'll sit here and we'll talk about whatever you want. Now, if you're listening to George's show, brilliant. Honestly, I was on the way in, I flicked between LBC and George, and they had Andrew Pearce on, who's a nice bloke, I bet, but he's really boring. It was so boring. And it was making me chuckle, because I'd listen to LBC and it was... And then I'd switch on to talk, and it's George Galloway going nuts and then going really quiet. And then going absolutely, getting really angry and really passionate. And then getting really, really quiet. And it was just a joy to hear. No competition. Absolutely no competition whatsoever. I've lost me. That's interesting. I've lost some of its pieces. Anyway, what I'm saying is, if you want to give us a call, you can. John, Alan, Paul, stay there. You'll be up next. 0844 499 1000.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Right, let's crack on. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Yes, John!
Well, it's Howard Hughes here, Ian. Howard Hughes.
Oh.
Just calling to say I won't be presenting The Unexplained anymore. I've actually explained everything.
Oh, that would be, Howard, that would be tragic if that were the case. You've explained everything, is it?
I've run out of ghosts, run out of UFO sightings. Most alarmingly of all, I've run out of bullshine.
No, ye man alive. Well, it's been great. It's been great having you on the station.
I tried to get some flown in from abroad, but Sally has fallen through, so it's back to capital for me.
Yes. Well, okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Howard. How did you explain the Bermuda Triangle?
Actually, it's not Howard at all. Only joking.
What the hell? Hang on a second. It's not Howard Hughes?
That's the unexplained version.
I think what we're going to do, though, John, as a tribute to you, we are going to ask every caller that calls in tonight, for as long as I remember, to do their Howard... I'm Howard Hughes. It's like that. Need to be a bit deeper. I'm Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes here, or Talk Radio, wherever that may be.
But on a serious question, John, have they explained the Bermuda Triangle now?
Well, was that something they were attempting to explain before?
Well, if they weren't, why weren't they? Because it makes people disappear, to quote Barry Manilow.
Well, I was listening to his show yesterday, I was listening to it on catch-up, and it was a bit weird. He had George Harrison's sister on.
He had who? Oh, yeah, George Harrison's sister. I listened to that. What did you think of it?
I thought it was a bit weird.
Yeah, me too! Me too! I thought it was really odd.
Because she said something about she's got a tribute band to the Beatles going or something.
This is the thing, right? So, yes, Saturday, and Sunday night, and it's a cracking show, Howard Hughes, love it. He had George Harrison's sister on. And bizarrely, she moved to America in about 1960, I think she said. And, yeah, she represents a Beatles tribute band. And that's the weirdest thing. I don't know if you've got siblings, John, but imagine one of them died. That's a horrific thought, sorry. But one of them died, and then you went and worked, you started managing someone who looked a little bit like your dead sibling. That's weird, isn't it?
No wonder it was on Howard Hughes' programme.
I explained that. And also, there was a thing where I was trying to tell Kath about this. I couldn't remember what he said, but he asked her a very specific question, and she went, "Where are you going with that?" And he tried to rephrase it, and then she just went off on a tangent talking about how the Beatles got their name.
Yeah, it was... another interesting thing was that she said she'd written a book, but then no publisher was interested. What was all that about?
Hang on a minute. Now, there have been some of the most tenuous Beatles books published, right, that, you know, the bloke that once served John Lennon a bacon sandwich gets books published, and a Beatles sister, that must be a poor book.
Yeah.
It must be terrible. Have you read, there's a book I used to love as a kid, my sister had it, because she had loads of Beatles books, and I've never seen this anywhere else, a book called Paperback Writer, and it's a fictional account of the Beatles' story. And it's written in the late 70s, and it ends with them reforming in 1977 to support the Sex Pistols, and they start playing loads of new stuff, and people boo them, and then they do a medley of, like, all their greatest early hits, and people go wild for them again. Have you read that?
No, but, I mean, somebody said once, wouldn't it have been weird if the Beatles had reformed, done Yellow Submarine, and then split up again?
There's a brilliant... there was a great poster in the 90s for Oasis, right? There's their first two albums, what the Beatles would have sounded like in the 90s. And my friend used to say, well, we know what they would have sounded like in the 90s. It was free as a bird, and it wasn't very good.
Yeah, I mean, out of all the, you know, songs they could have reformed with, they chose that one.
The paperback writer book, and I'm going to see if I can get it for a penny on Amazon. I remember because I read it when I was quite young, and I wasn't sure what was real and what wasn't real within it. And so for many years, I thought that Phil Spector's... I'm going to say this on the radio. For many years, I thought that Phil Spector's Wall of Sound was actually an invisible defence system around his house. So, and if anyone crossed it, it would set off this massive deafening sound that would cripple any intruder because it was so loud.
Was this book a comedy book?
Yeah. Yes. Could you tell?
I could. I noticed that, yeah.
Yes, you know,
so that was
genre.
His wall. That was his wall of sound.
Yeah, his wall of sound, according to this book, was... thing. And I can't look. I can't see it on Amazon. I must be the only person that ever read that book. It was a good book, man. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know if it was good. It might have been rubbish. I don't know. Anyway, John, what have you called in for us with?
Well, just what's this Stranger Things thing? Have you heard of this Netflix series with Winona Ryder in it?
Now, lots of people have recommended that I watch this because it looks like it's shot on VHS or something.
It does it. You see, because I've just seen about it online and everything. Everyone's going mad about it. I'm a big Winona Ryder fan. I haven't heard of her for a long time. I was just wondering what this thing was. Is it worth, you know, watching? I mean...
Well, hang on a minute. Let's ask. Alan!
Him, him, him!
Yeah, OK. Let's cut to the chase, Alan. This Stranger Things with Winona Ryder, is it worth watching, mate?
I've never seen it.
Does that help, John?
Yeah, thanks.
All right, nice one. Well, I look forward to speaking to you again.
All right, ma'am.
Tutty bye. If anyone knows, genuinely, because I always think it's weird talking about the telly on the radio, but because I've had loads of people getting in touch. I don't know what it is. John has already shed more light on it than I expected by saying it's got Winona Ryder in it. I thought it was filmed in the 80s. I don't know. Paul's on the line. Evening, Paul.
Evening, mate. How are you?
Hang on a second. Alan, you're right.
Yeah, not bad.
Good lad. Okay, yeah.
Alan, hello, I'm Howard Hughes.
I'm Howard Hughes. Now, see, it's got to be deeper. It's got to be deeper in the back of the throat, Paul.
Give me a go. I'm Howard Hughes.
Well, that's just like a pervert. I'm not saying that's wrong, though.
Excuse me. Hey, mate, listen, rung you up last night because it's my birthday, yeah?
Oh, yeah, happy birthday for yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday
you were special, now you're just a bloke again, but a bit older.
It's still birth Boxing Day, though.
Yeah, well.
Okay. No, what I've rung you up for, because I listened to you, and then straight away you spoke about, like, your incident with the BBC, and I never really spoke about it yesterday, but I want to explain something to you.
Yeah.
I listened to that whole thing
when
you had that chat with that guy who worked in the prison and all that priest or that vicar or whatever he was.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe I never found you again on Three Counties.
Yeah, well, no, nor could I. A week, 8 days later, I got a phone call saying, yeah, don't come in anymore. And I was in pieces. I couldn't believe it. They said, if you do an apology on air, this will go away. And I said, well, I don't even know what it is, but okay, I'll do an apology. Yeah, I said, I'll do an apology. And I did an apology, and I got shafted. It's a little bit more complicated than I can say on here, and I don't want to bang on about it too much.
No, but I don't want to bang on about it. But what I'm trying to say is I used to love that in the morning. And I used to listen to you, and like the way you used to take the mickey out of everyone, like you do now. But I listened to that whole conversation, and I was so surprised when I found out what had happened. But then I found you again, so that's good.
Hey, so, do you know what? It's all worked out for the best. Here's a little bit of gossip. I had this job lined up before I got the boot from there anyway. But it didn't...
Result.
Yeah, result. But it didn't make the sense of betrayal. And, I was devastated, man. I was absolutely devastated.
Because I
couldn't work out what I'd done wrong. And my boss didn't phone me for 2 weeks after I got the sack. Didn't phone me.
I listened to that, and to this day, I still don't know what they done you for.
Well, eventually, when my boss phoned me up, I said, Laura, why did I have to go? And I asked her six times. In the end, she went, because you lost your temper. I was like...
But you never...
Right. And then in the BBC report 6 months later, it didn't mention losing my temper. It said I wasn't impartial. So...
I'm not a sycophant or anything like that, but I listened to it, and I've listened to it again, and I was thinking, I still don't know what you've done wrong.
Yeah, well, I had a breakdown. Anyway, it's all worked out for the best. It's all good. I did the right thing.
And this filming thing, I never watched it on it, because like I told you last night, I only get the podcast, like I normally do, but like, look at me now, two nights running, ringing you up.
Yes.
Imposter, I watched it the other day.
Oh, yeah, The Imposter, oh yeah.
I felt a little bit sorry for him as well.
The French guy, I'm getting confused with Kung Fu Elliot. The French guy who pretended to be the 15-year-old...
No, I haven't seen Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Elliot, you plum.
Yeah, I know.
Frederick Bourdin, who pretended to be Nicholas, last name I've forgotten.
But at the end, I felt a little bit sorry for him because it said he'd done it all around the world, and I thought, I just felt a little bit sorry for him as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it would be hard.
Evil. He was evil, though, but, I mean, I still felt a little bit sorry for him.
Yeah, I understand. I understand why you felt sorry for him. The whole thing was just messed up, wasn't it?
Cool.
Hang on a minute. Alan!
Hip, hip, hip!
Did you watch The Imposter?
Unfortunately, I couldn't find it.
Okay, that's okay.
Has he got YouTube?
Let's ask him. You ask him, Paul.
Alan, hip, hip, hip,
hip, hip, hip, hip.
I'm Howard Hughes.
Oh, my God.
Can
we do Howard Hughes when he's fit and well? Not on his deathbed, please, Alan. After he's had 20 Rothman.
Sorry.
That's all right. Alan, Paul's got a question for you.
Have you got YouTube?
I have got YouTube, but I tend to look at the old Grand Nationals.
The old Grand Nationals, okay.
Old and 80.
I was talking about West Tip.
Ah, was you? Okay. I remember Red Rum.
Okay, well, you're both boring me now, so we'll say goodbye to you, Paul, and we'll go to a break.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
I can't find... 0844 499 1000. I don't know who's on line four. Is there someone on line four? Because there's no name on my screen. I can't find online this Beatles book, paperback writer. I can't find it. Where are you going?
Fixing your
Well, how are you going to do it?
Restart it.
Okay. Oh, look, I hadn't seen another thing. Beautiful. Thank you. No, thank you. In that case, I apologise for my brusque tone. No, I was brusque. I was very brusque. I was brusque there, wasn't I, Alan?
Yes, it was.
What?
Yes, it was brusque.
I was brusque. No, brusque. Not brisk. Brusque.
Yeah.
Do you know what it means?
No.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. It's a good word, brusque. But I can't find this Beatles book, and it was, I remember it being really, really funny, and it was called Paperback Writer. My sister's listening. Joe, do you remember the book? It was Red, and it was written in the late 70s, and it was a fictional account of the Beatles. And it was good. If anyone can think of it, 08444991000, let's go to that mysterious line four. It's Anna. Good evening, Lady Kadonk.
Hello.
Can we have your Howard Hughes?
I'm Howard Hughes.
Best one so far. Hang on a second. Ed, apparently you can do a good Howard Hughes.
I'm not Ed, I'm Howard Hughes.
You made him sound like a Victorian homosexual. Well, do that again.
Hello, I'm Howard Hughes.
What do you reckon, Anna? I was,
that was good.
No, it was. Emma typed up on my screen, Ed can do a brilliant Howard Hughes. And I listened... Hang on, talk about ghosts.
Tonight on the programme, we're going to talk about ghosts and how they're really not real, just men in sheets.
No, go away. Utter rubbish. That's the worst. That's even worse than yours, Alan.
I know, and I found that paperback writer book.
You found it?
On eBay.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Hello, Alan.
1970. Hi, Lady Kadonk.
Hey, Pip. How's your mum?
Last today she was spaced out on painkillers.
Well, that can be a good thing. Do you know what I mean? That's good. You know, if she's not feeling the pain, Alan. That's good.
But she's not making any sense at all.
Oh, that's upsetting to see, isn't it?
Mm.
That's upsetting to see. Bless her. But is she getting better though?
Just slowly.
Good. All right. Good.
Third time.
Then that's all we need. Well, who's that laughing in the background, Alan? Is that your girlfriend?
No, it's Friday night, and where am I usually on a Friday?
A brothel, a karaoke!
Yeah!
What are you singing tonight?
I did a new tune tonight, and it wasn't very good.
Oh, like the other ones are. What was it you did, Alan?
Down to Earth by Curiosity Killed the Cat.
God, I'm too tired for this. Can't do this tonight. Do you want to give us a little snatch, Alan?
Well, it's the first time I ever tried it, so I don't know the words very well.
Okay.
I'm sure if you've got it on your music library, I'm sure we can hear a clip of it.
Well, no, I'd like to hear a clip of you doing it.
Well, I can tell you what my next tune is.
No, I don't want to know what your next tune is. I want to hear you singing Down to Earth by Curiosity and Ben Volepier.
Straight back down, come back down. Where do you go? Straight back down to us. Don't want to verify. Running home with time. I bet he's feeling fine. Don't want to lose my mind.
Well, there's an unusual one to choose, Alan. What made you choose that?
I just wanted to try some new material.
Yeah, well, you know, you can see why some people don't. What you got for us, Lady Kadonk?
Did you hear about Postman Pat? Ken Berry died today, the voice of Postman Pat.
Yeah.
Did you not watch Postman Pat?
Yeah. But I didn't feel sad or anything.
No, I didn't feel sad.
The voice of Postman Pat, as we all know, is now Stephen Mangan.
Is it?
Have you not seen the film?
No.
Well, you should watch the film. No, you shouldn't. It's rubbish. Oh. Yeah, I saw that.
Anyway, Kenan and Kel.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about the fella that did a kids TV programme has died. I mean, it's hardly up there with David Bowie and Prince, is it?
No.
No, it's not like 2016, you're taking all the angels. Well, you took the fella that did the Postman Pat theme.
I just thought I'd mention it.
Well, no, you've mentioned it. And, you know, and it's a loss for his family. But I saw it and I went, oh, well. These things happen.
Who loves orange soda?
Who loves who?
orange soda.
Do you love it, Alan?
Yeah, I do.
Oh. Alan loves it.
Keenan and Kel?
What's that, Lady Kadonk?
Did you watch Keenan and Kel?
Yeah, you should go. Ah, here it goes!
Right, literally got no idea what happened in the last 2 minutes of radio there. Does anyone know what... thank you, Lady Kadonk. I enjoyed that. I don't know what happened, but I enjoyed it. Thank you, Garrick. Did that make sense to you? Is it just because I'm so tired? I mean, I am shattered. But maybe that made perfect sense to you, and I'm kind of having some kind of psychedelic, hallucinatory experience. Chance would be a fine thing, hey, wouldn't it? 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. I'm in Lee. This is Talk Radio. Let's go to Rashid and Simon. Stay there. Let's go to now. I'm never. Do I say your name, Eben?
Hello.
Do I say Eben or Eben?
Eben.
Eben. Hello, Eben. Hello. Every time you come on, Eben, I'm never sure.
A lot of people are like that too.
Well, a lot of people. Do you correct them if they were to say Eben? Would you correct them?
Sometimes, but a teacher in my old school called me Eben all the time.
Oh.
And I couldn't because it was in a class of 35.
Blimey. Broken Britain. We had a girl in our school called Karen, and it was spelled C-A-R-E-N, Karen. And for years she was called Karen, right? Mm. And then one day, I remember her mum came into the school, right? And she was talking to the teacher, and the teacher went, well, and it was in the class. I remember seeing this, right? The teacher went, well, Karen has been doing really well at this. And she went, who, sorry? She went, well, Karen. She went, no, her name's Karen, huh? And she'd been lying. She changed the pronunciation of her name to make her sound more exciting. And she changed the spelling of her name. Her name was Karen, spelt K-A-R-E-N. And she'd completely lied about the pronunciation and the first letter. That's insane. That takes balls. And she'd carried it off for about 5 years. Yeah, we were about 10 years old. I thought it was breathtaking in its bravery. Anyway, Eben, what you got for us?
Just phoning in to say how rubbish my week's been.
Hey, what's been going on, then?
Well, I got a new bike, great, because I thought I could do more road cycling, but I've got 2 flat tyres in a week, and I realised tyres for a road bike are £25 plus £8 each for an inner tube. And
well, hang on a minute. Well, is this a bicycle?
Yeah, a road bike.
Right. You don't need to change the tyre in the inner tube. You just fix the puncture.
No, there was a puncture in the tyre.
What?
There was a literal hole in the tyre.
Oh, what? When you bought it, or because you rode it over?
Maybe I rode it over a bit of glass.
Oh well, you're an idiot then. That's expensive. That's really expensive. Yeah. But you can still. So what? There was a gash in the outer tyre.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because I remember you don't see people outside their front gardens on the driveway with washing up bowls of water while they're passing a tyre through or an inner tube through to try and find the hole. You don't see that anymore. Mm. And yet, as far as I remember, the 70s and the 80s, that was all you saw on driveways. You'd see cars on 2 wheels and bricks. You'd see bikes upside down on their seats and their handlebars and people fixing them. And you'd see people fixing inner tubes all the time. And now you don't
I used to see that where I used to live.
Yeah.
All the time, which was quite recently, 5 years ago.
Yeah, okay, so that's the most... If we can find any... If we can find anybody who's seen someone with a... And it's got to be a plastic washing up bowl of water, not a bucket. I'm not having that. It's got to be a plastic washing up bowl of water and an inner tube being passed around as they try to find the hole. 0844 499 1000. We call you back and you will jump straight to the front of the queue. How's about them apples? Anyway, Eben, that's not what you've called in for. What have you got for us this evening?
I think you've got me by nerves a bit now. Sorry.
Say that again.
You've got me by nerves a bit because I've been waiting a bit on the phone.
Well, don't be nervous. No. No, don't be nervous. Don't worry about that. I know exactly why you're calling. You were telling me about your rubbish week. So, we had the tyres. Was there the expensive tyres?
Yeah.
Why can't they?
Most expensive in the shop.
No, of course not.
The most expensive are £45 per tyre.
Were they the middle, the medium tyres in terms of expense?
Yeah. Yeah, 25.
Because there were cheaper tyres than that, were there?
No, not in his shop.
Okay.
He specialises for, like, top cyclists.
Whenever I get tyres for my car, blimey, look, I've just seen a blast from the past flashing up on my screen. When I get tyres for the car, they always say, we're doing a special deal on these. Would you like these? I never go for the special deal because I'm always suspicious of the special deal. And they always then offer you the most expensive tyres. And I say, right, what is the cheapest tyres and what are the tyres in between? And I always go for the one in between. Always go for the mid-priced tyres. And part of me wonders if there's any... There can't be that much difference, Eben. Are we talking about tyres? Yes, we are. There can't be that much difference in tyre quality.
I think it's to do with the tread, mainly.
But what does that... There we go. Yeah, my sister's reminded me. Spoons, of course. How do you get a tyre off a bike? You use spoons. What else can you fix with spoons, guys? Has anything else rubbish happened in your week?
Yes, something at lunchtime.
Uh-oh. Go on.
I was in the lovely, like... Thai restaurant in the market, and I didn't read it said fresh chilies, and it was the hottest dish on the menu.
Beautiful. What was the bad thing that happened?
That my mouth was burning after that, my lips.
Beautiful. That's a great thing, though.
And I had to go up and ask for milk.
Oh wow, you actually went for the milk. Was your hair sweating on your head?
Yes, like
that's when you know you're having a good meal, when your hair is sweating on your head and it's dripping down your back. Beautiful. I wouldn't complain about that, Eben. I think it sounds like you had a great lunch.
Yeah.
You're lightweight. You're what internet trolls would call a snowflake, and I don't understand why that's a bad thing. I got called a snowflake, and I thought that was actually quite a beautiful thing to be. So this is a safe haven for snowflakes. Snowflakes United. What does Snowflakes United make? A snowball.
That's actually quite not a bad thing to be said, because I've been said a lot worse things on my YouTube channel, which I can't repeat.
Me too, Eben. And I've been off Twitter quite a bit, and I won't go to break in a second, but I've been off Twitter quite a bit, and I went on today because I'm tired and I had a rant. Not a rant, I just posted some stuff because I was tired and bored. And my life this week has been so much better because I've not been on Twitter. And I really think that actually quite a lot of the internet is really nasty. And you say that on Twitter and people go, oh, no, I'm nice. Yeah, OK. But I just think that YouTube comments as well are a real place for absolute arses to come out and spout bile at people.
Yeah.
Eben, listen, I don't know what you're moaning about the chili for crying out loud. That sounds awesome, but the bike thing, not so awesome. 0844 499 1000. Simon, Rashid, Darren, and Philip in South Norwood. Coming to you after this.
The Wild Man of Late Night Radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. Simon's on the line. Good evening, Simon.
Hi, Ian Lee. I'm Howard Hughes, and I'm on the radio talking about the unexplained.
You made him sound like a Nigerian.
Hello there, Ian Lee. I am Howard Hughes, and I want to talk to you about the unexplained.
That's better. Now we're getting close to a good Howard. I should have got Eben to do a Howard Hughes, shouldn't I? Now we're getting close to a Howard Hughes thing. Howard Hughes, if you don't know who he is, Sunday nights, 10 o'clock, is a brilliantly... It's just a brilliant show. And, do play it to him. It's a brilliant show, and it's sometimes it's nuts, and sometimes it's... Well, it's all nuts, actually, because it's all about ghosts and stuff like that. But I'm Howard Hughes. That's how you do it. That was close. Anyway, Simon, what you got?
Stranger Things, Ian.
Yeah.
You're a man of my age. You grew up in the 80s.
Yeah.
Stranger Things is set in 1983.
Oh, the TV programme. I thought you were about to talk about Stranger Things that have happened.
Not Stranger Things and Howard Hughes. Nothing is stranger than that.
Stranger Things, 1983. What is it, though? Okay, so this is the TV programme. Go on.
So the TV show set in 1983. Episode 2, I was enjoying it. Yeah. I enjoyed the first 2 episodes. It was fabulous. We get to the end of episode 2, the Bangles walk like an Egyptian. Because the go-out song.
But hang on, sorry. I thought you said it was set in 1983.
There you go, mate. That's my problem.
But War Like an Egyptian was what, 85?
85, yeah, thanks. Stop doing the flipping 80s wrong, you chumps.
You've just got to Google it.
Just...
Google it! Just go and get a Now That's What I Call Music 1985, or whatever. Go and get the Guinness Book of Hit Records. Oh, that's...
Exactly. Well, thank you, Ian Lee.
But is it... But okay, that massive... gaping faux pas to one side.
It was a massive gaper, in fairness.
Is it any good? What is it? I don't even know what it's about, this programme.
It's enjoyable. It's Spielbergian. It's a little girl gets found, a boy goes missing, strange things happen. And it's really, really enjoyable. But you've got the flipping music wrong, you utter...
planks.
Silly bug bits.
But is it... Okay, it's a TV series.
Yes.
Is it a contained story? Because I don't like him...
Yes, within the 8 episodes, yes. But there's scope for it to move on.
Okay, no, I can dig that. Yeah. Yeah, I can dig that. I probably won't watch it.
Nah, well, you're not missing, largely.
Yeah, I don't
apart
really
apart from the 80s getting got wrong.
But, I lived through the 80s once. I don't want to live through it again in my leisure.
Well, especially wrongly.
Especially wrongly. Simon, thank you very much indeed. 0844 499 1000. Here we go. Philip in South Norwood.
Oh, good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Philip. Can you do a Howard Hughes impression?
No, I can't. This is Howard Hughes.
There we go. No. I can say good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening. Good evening, Ian. I can
good evening,
do...
Ian.
Good
the
evening,
reason
Ian.
I rang this evening,
I
Ian.
I can do you. Hoodie!
Hoodie, yes.
Yes.
The reason I rang this evening, Ian, was very, very sad to hear about Vivian Grey, the actress.
Who's that?
Well, Vivian Grey was a famous Australian... Well, she was born in Cleethorpes until 1924 and emigrated to Australia in 1952. If I said to you, Neighbours, Mrs. Mangle...
Oh, for crying out loud, Philip.
You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I know Mrs. Mangle. Well, yes. I thought she died years ago.
No, Vivian Grey passed away. She was 92.
Did Vivian Grey pass away today?
It was reported in the papers today. It was announced in the papers today. She had an interesting career in...
2016! When will you stop taking them from us? Mrs. Mangle and Postman Pat.
Yes, Postman Pat. I heard about Postman Pat. She made a couple of interesting films. Did you ever see Picnic at Hanging Rock?
Yes.
Yeah, she was in that.
Yes.
She was one of the teachers. She was also in the film with Richard Chamberlain, Last Wave.
Never seen it.
Yeah, because she was in the...
Have you not been able to get through to Nick Abbott tonight or something? Is that why you're phoning me up and
Ooh.
Telling me?
Ooh.
Yeah, thank you very much indeed. Well done. Congratulations. 5 points. Yeah, she was in The Sullivans. And
she was
we
in
used
The Sullivans
to,
as Mrs. Jessup.
We used to have to watch The Sullivans at lunchtime because my mum loved it. That and The Cedar Tree.
The Sullivans, I think, because of the detail too, because it was set during the Second World War in Australia, was very good. In 1984, she made some episodes of Prisoner Cell Block H that were banned in Australia.
Oh.
They were banned because they were too close to a real case.
Oh!
They were shown, I believe in this country, I've actually got them on a box set. And she played a character that, as they said, was, you know, too close, so they, you know, didn't show it. And then from 86, of course, to 88, 2 years, she appeared as Mrs. Mangle in Neighbours. I think that everybody...
needs Good Neighbours.
Yeah.
That's when Good Neighbours become swinging partners.
Yeah, and she gave up, retired from acting and came to live, I understand, in Shoreham on the south coast.
Did she really?
Yes, she did.
But I thought she was about... I mean, again, compared to David Bowie and Victoria Wood, and even David Guest...
Yeah.
It's just...
No, I think she was a... You know, those people who... I mean, like you said, your mother used to watch The Sullivans. She would know her. And I'm sure there's lots of people out there seeing them all over the country who would, know of her. Okay. One other thing, just before I go, Ian, you... I was reading while I was waiting to come on.
Yes.
Did you know that 80%, 85% in the reduction in plastic bags since we've had to pay for them, it says? Have you got a bag for life?
I did know that. And no, I haven't got a bag for life. And I did know that. I now find that I very rarely do I get a bag at the at the supermarket. So the number of times I walk out of the shop balancing three boxes of cat food on my left hand, sandwiches and fruit in my right hand, and a bottle of Lenore. I don't use Lenore. I use the tablets now. But under my arm, I do that quite a lot. So yes, I did know that there was a huge reduction in plastic bag usage. And how's that global warming thing going?
Well, it's interesting because. I've got about three or four bags for life until the bottom falls out, then I get another one. I was given an unusual one a couple of months ago.
Philip, this isn't BBC London you're phoning into.
Who?
This isn't David Priever. This is a proper show.
Well, I know, but I'm sure there's people all over the country that got bags for life and they've given them names. I'm sure they have.
Oh, shut up. Who's given their bag a name?
A couple of lady friends of mine. One's got a bag called Doris.
Oh, cut now.
No, it's true. I'm not making it up.
Well, how old is this lady friend of yours?
Oh, she's in her 60s.
Well, exactly. They used to do that in the war.
No. Anyway, I was given this bag for life. I bought this bag for life.
And what have you called it?
Well, no, I've been explained it was unusual, because on one side, it was in Welsh, and on the other side, it was in English, and it was a road safety. And on one side, it told me how to cross the road in Wales.
Yes.
And on the other side, how to cross the road in England.
Right.
So I said to them, she said, we're doing a cross promotion. You know, they're giving them out, or selling them in the shops down in Wales.
Yes.
And selling them here.
Wow.
So, it was very useful in case they ever go down the way.
Okay. This isn't BBC London. I heard them doing the most insipid phone-in the other night. Oh. Do you know what? It's Friday. Anything kind of goes on a Friday. Don't you think? I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. If you want to give us a call now, Rashid and Darren will come to you after the news at the top of the hour. Now, though, is an excellent time to book your slot in the second hour of the show. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. We call you back. What are we talking about? Well, we're not talking about plastic bags. We're not talking about plastic bags. I can't believe anyone gives their bag a name, do they? Hey, I went home last night and I watched the stick insects eating each other. I've noticed that they start eating each other if I don't provide them with fresh leaves. Well, no, they've got loads of leaves, actually. But there's one that's only got four legs now. And he won't have those much longer because all of the other stick insects are ganging up on him and trying to eat him. It is the weirdest thing. You know, the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I've seen some pretty freaky shiz, man. Let me tell you that. But it really is an odd thing. If anyone knows why they are eating each other, do they hate each other? I can't believe stick insects are capable of your actual proper hatred. I can't believe that. What's happening with the phone tonight? They're going mental. I didn't just swear that. Did I just swear then? Did I just drop the N-word or something without anybody here noticing it? And here's the thing, and it is... concerning is too strong a word, but at the moment I can't think of a better word. So I'm going to... Slightly concerning. The lack of female callers we get. And I'm always curious as to whether I should mention it, because then by mentioning it, does that then put undue pressure on people? Or... I don't know how we can get more women phoning in. And if you are a woman, what's it like? No, if you are a woman, is this too blokey? It doesn't feel too blokey to me, but then guess what? I'm a bloke. So I don't know. It's just something that's going around in the back of my head. Maybe we'll talk about it more when Kath gets back in a week or so. 0844 499 1000.
Talk Radio.
I do want to talk about taking dogs and staying in hotels with them. And also, and this, I think this is blokey. I'm prepared to be proven wrong, but, well, oh God, I entered a new world today, the world of Warhammer. Yeah, I know.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, it's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. Down this road that never seems to end. When new adventure lies just around the bend. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow the whole world is my own. So if you wanna join me for a while, just grab your hat, come travel like that's old style. Tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. Maybe tomorrow, I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow, I'll just keep moving on. There's a world that's waiting to unfold. A brand new tale no one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but you know it won't be long. We're almost there and we've paid our fare with a hobo song. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on. So if you maybe tomorrow I'll find what I call home. Until tomorrow, you know I'm free to roam.
Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. Take this. Stop. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. This is a phone-in show. Unlike any other phone-in show, sadly, on radio, certainly in this country at the moment, and I kind of think in the world. And I say sadly because it would be nice. This is the show that I would listen to, and I can't for two reasons. One, because I'm doing it now. And two, I certainly couldn't listen back to this. I hate listening back to me. I hate it. It's weird, isn't it? We hate listening to ourselves or watching ourselves. Some people like it. I don't like it. And I wish that there were more shows like this, because I would like to listen to a show like this, but I can't. So I have to do it. Why is it unlike any other show? Because I sit here and instead of telling you what to talk about and giving you a specific question or doing the show from the back of a black cab or for whatever, I just kind of sit here and just spew out stuff through my mouth hole. And you call in and you talk about what I've said, or you talk. We heard from someone who just had a rubbish week and they want to talk about their rubbish week, or you can call in about anything. And I'm tired tonight. I'm a bit snarky tonight, and that's all right. You know, that's all right. After midnight, we'll take your call straight to air, okay? But until then, we call you back, 0844 499 1000. Let's go to Nina. Evening, Nina.
Hello there.
Hello, Nina. What you got for us?
I'm ringing up for two reasons. I was going to call anyway about the sticking sex.
Yes.
And then you mentioned about female callers.
Yes.
And I'm only listening because I'm staying with my dad.
Right. Oh.
And he has it on all the time, sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
But I think I know maybe why more women don't listen.
Go on. Well,
I think they get confused because I've said to some of my friends, do you listen to sport talk? Talk sport, sorry.
Yes.
And they say, oh, I don't like sport. So I think maybe the name confuses some people.
Well, that might stop some people listening to Talk Sport, yeah.
But if they were that interested, they should.
But this isn't Talk Sport.
It, no, they think it is, though. They think you're talking about sport.
No, but this is this radio station isn't Talk Sport.
No, I know that.
Well, what is this radio station?
It's just talking about anything, isn't it?
Yeah,
really?
But you're not listening to the and I hate the only the second woman who's called up this evening. I'm going to I'm trying to tread gently, but this radio station isn't Talk Sport. You're thinking of Talk Sport.
Oh, am I?
This isn't Talk Sport, Nina.
What am I called? Sorry, this is what am I actually? Who? I know my dad adores you, and he's straight.
Oh. This is Talk Right. So there's Talk Sport,
Talk Radio, I'm on Talk Radio.
You're on Talk Radio.
Okay.
Talk Sport is in the same building. It's owned by the same people. I'm glad you took that in the spirit it was intended. I didn't want it to be a crushing partnership. Yeah. Talk Sport is a different radio station.
Okay.
But they're both owned by the same people. But this is, and they do talk about sport a lot.
Okay.
All the flipping time. It's awful.
I just put whatever I said, just a load of rubbish.
Oh, well, I'll pass that on to Andy Goldstein, who's on Talk Sport. And it's awful. It's I hate sport. It's all about sport, this, and football, and football, and the Olympics. Oh, God, it's boring. But this is Talk Radio. And so this is different. We don't talk about sport. And we've gone through periods on this show. It's only a new station. It's only been running since March the 21st. We've gone through periods of having women calling this show, and I can't speak for other shows. I don't know what goes on there.
I think they get a bit more nervous. I used to have a boyfriend who was a local DJ.
Uh-oh.
On the radio.
Yeah.
And I used to sit there in the studio silent when the fader went up. So I was used to being around radio for about 6 years. Yeah. So it doesn't faze me, but I think a lot of women maybe get a bit nervous.
Why do you think women... I'm hunkering down now, if you're watching.
I know.
I'm hunkering down. But why would... But women aren't more nervous in general, are they? Unless they're watching, like, a scary film, in which case they're a bunch of wusses. But then so am I. But generally, women aren't
sociable,
more nervous.
Yeah.
So I wonder. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm not a woman. I'm not going to try and start mansplaining something I don't quite get. But I don't know if they would necessarily be.
Maybe they listen more.
Yeah.
But they don't actually ring up to comment.
You're right. And that's something I wanted to pick. Another thing I wanted to pick you up on. You said the reason you don't have so many women listeners. I think we do get a lot of women listeners. And there is a difference between people who call in and people who just listen, you know.
And
I think it's something like the percentage of people who call in, it's like 0.2% of the actual listenership.
Yeah, sure.
And I know from Twitter and stuff that we do get a lot of women.
It's hard to gauge, isn't it, really,
it is. And I'm aware that I'm a bloke, and I try not to do like a laddish show. I've been guilty of doing blokey laddish shows in the past, and I try not to. Normally, I have a. If you won't know this neither, because if you've not been listening, but I normally have a Catherine is my producer, and she's away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And she comes in the studio a lot and kind of, you know, helps do the, you know, present the show from time to time.
Yeah.
And she tells me off if I do get too blokey. So I just, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe I can't turn it around. I don't know.
I think maybe some women are a little bit more afraid of men with all the political correctness. I mean, I'm not particularly bothered, but I think maybe some women are. That could be another reason.
What do you mean afraid of men because of the political correctness?
I think women are expected to not have such strong opinions, maybe.
Oh,
so they
God, no.
Don't ring up. No?
Oh, no.
On air? Just on air, I mean.
Yeah, well,
You know, because they're always, like, the assistant, aren't they, usually on radio?
Yeah, no, that's true.
Not in your case. They're never, the main...
In this case, even in this case, you know, because, say, Catherine is the producer, so she's, we kind of, you know, it's sort of 50-50 between us, sometimes 60-40 one way or the other. But it's a bloke, it's a white, middle-aged, middle-class bloke hosting a radio show. Most of them are. The only woman we have in the weekday kind of usual schedule is Julia Hartley Brewer, and she's got bigger testicles than I've got, for crying out loud. And it was, I go and give talks at colleges and universities and schools about working in radio and stuff. And I gave one at this college in Kent. I can't think where it was. And I had this young lady come up to me afterwards, and she said that she'd got turned down from a university where she'd wanted to go and do like media studies and working in radio, because they said she wanted to be a presenter, and they turned her down saying, "Well, but you're a woman. You won't get a job presenting. Why don't you become a producer or a reporter? You won't get a presenter job." And that broke my heart. My generation, right? We've got it wrong and we've screwed it up. There should be a 50-50 split between men and women. It should be, if you're good, you can present. I don't, you know. And my generation,
what I can see of your show, women aren't just the ones who just laugh at the jokes.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Whereas a lot don't, other stations.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, that horrible thing of, yeah, the woman's just there to do the travel and laugh at the bloke when he's being funny. Oh, God, no, I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah.
We had a last place I worked at, BBC place, we had a female boss, and she once told a friend of mine, she told it to Catherine, actually. She said, well, people don't want to hear women on the radio. This was a female boss saying it.
How has she gathered that information then?
I don't know, because it's not true. I want to listen to someone who's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether they've got
a
winkle or the other thing. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Anyway, Nina, you're going to tell me about stick insects, the dirty creatures.
That was the main, before I messed up on the whole talk.
No. I'm glad you took it in the spirit it was intended, because I didn't want it to be humiliating. Well done. Okay.
Well, I believe you that they eat one another, but I had to explain something not to do because I was scarred for life by it.
Uh-oh.
When I was a child, about 8 years old, it was half term, and it was my turn to take the school pet stick insects home. And there was about six of them, and they were all happy, but it was Christmas. And I think we looked in the encyclopedia back then.
Yeah.
It wasn't the internet. And they like hot climates. So we put them in the airing cupboard.
Oh, God.
And they looked okay. And then some were a bit slow one day and then the next day. And I noticed the whole leg dropping off thing. And then you couldn't find the leg anywhere.
Yeah.
And I killed all six of them. And I had to go back to school because they overheated.
You'd cook them. You'd cook the stick insects.
They were from Africa, so I presumed they'd be fine in the airing cupboard.
No, you just put them in their little box or whatever it is, and you just put them in the kitchen somewhere and leave them. I think,
but it wasn't the internet then, so I just looked at this old encyclopedia because it was cold.
I bet they tasted delicious, didn't they?
Nina,
I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for being such a good sport. Yeah. Thank you very much, Nina. Excellent call. Thank you very much indeed. 0844 499 1000. We call you back. Rashid, Darren, Pete, coming to you next.
Uncut after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late night Ian Lee.
on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Rashid!
Hip, hip, hip,
hip! Hip, 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 Rashid!
I phone every day now, my gosh.
You are addicted. Oh, you're addicted. You're addicted.
Oh, thanks, man, thanks. Yeah, yeah, I am, actually. What was I going to say now? I've been waiting all that time.
I've just had a little spillage in the studio. Nothing to worry about. Wasn't on the control panel this time. So I'm just cleaning up, Rashid, while I talk to you, but I'm
all
listening.
Right, yeah, I want to talk about George Galloway.
Oh, yeah.
Fireman Sam. Oh, and Lady Kadonk reminded me of Postman Pat. I want to talk about them things.
Oh, flipping it. All right, go on.
George Galloway. While you're cleaning, have you got that button where it says George, you're a fanny?
No, but I can invite George into the studio to say it. Hang on.
George, you're a fanny.
There we go. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That always tickles me, right?
Yeah.
But today, you was listening to the show on and off. Did you get when he was going soft with his voice? And he was going really soft with his voice. And then at one stage, he's got that jingle where it says, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough.
Yeah, but that's not him saying that.
Oh, no, it's not him. But then he came on after that. He goes, well, are you hard enough?
He's good. I think he's a brilliant broadcaster. I don't agree with a lot of what he says. I agree with some of it,
I disagree with some of it.
But I just think he's so passionate about it, and it's good to listen to people that you don't always agree with. It challenges your thinking, and sometimes I change my thinking, and sometimes it makes me more set in my thinking. But well, he's brilliant. He played a blind.
He explained
tonight
why he was acting as a cat in Big Brother, because that came up as well. Because Big Brother's
Now go on. He said because he was getting the money was going to charity, right?
Yeah, to the Palestinian kids.
Now, but what? But was he saying it was his fee that was going to charity?
I don't know.
Because I was only half listening because I was trying to finish my Harry Nilsson book, right? And what I heard was he said, someone said, why did you dress up as a cat in Big Brother? And he said, well, because if I didn't, I would have got booted out, and then the money wouldn't have gone to the church. But if it was his fee, you get the fee however long you're in there.
Oh.
So I don't know if he was referring to another bit of money. I don't know, but you could go if you get voted out on the first night of the celebrity one, you still get your fee.
Yeah.
So in George's defence, I was only half listening, so maybe he was implying something else.
There was another clip at the end where he went all soft on his voice as well, and he goes, "Do you want me to be a cat?" Yeah. So I was wondering if Ed could clip them. But George might give him a clip around here if he does
Exactly. I'm happy with...
George, you're a fanny.
That's enough for me.
Oh, Fireman Sam, there was some... sometimes you wake up and you wonder, am I dreaming or is it this... And then I saw a news article, the Quran in a Fireman Sam episode.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah.
What's going on?
Someone in Fireman Sam apparently trod on the Quran, and everyone kicked off, and Channel 5 went, well, we're never repeating it, and we're not working with that company ever again.
Well, I've heard that Postman Pat has converted to Islam, and he's made a new theme tune.
Uh-oh.
Which I've had the pleasure of hearing it. It's... Muslim Pat, Muslim Pat, Muslim Pat and his black and white cat. Yeah. Early in the morning, when the prayer is dawning, Muslim Pat is praying on his mat.
Well, thank you very much for that, Rashid. That's, what has happened to everyone this evening? I don't know. Are you all feeling, I'm feeling knackered, man. I'm really tired. And I had quite a good sleep last night. I didn't get up till about 10. I woke up about, so I got about 7.5 hours sleep. Then I had a really good day with the boys. Oh, we went, this is the thing I want to talk about. We went to, where we live, we keep walking past this games workshop. You know the games workshop? It's I always thought it was like Dungeons & Dragons. I'd never really been aware of it. And my boys constantly say, Daddy, can we go in there and have a look? And we went in there a couple of months ago, and the guy said, why don't you come back, you know, and do a little painting set? You get these little models. It's Warhammer is the game, Warhammer. and it's an hour and it's free. Boy, oh boy, alarm bells should have gone off in my head then when he said, you can come in for an hour and it's free. What? So we went into, Darren, you'll be next, and then it's Pete, and then it's Craig, and then it's Jonathan. Unless a woman calls in, and you can jump the queue, because I want to hear some more women voices, 0844 499 1000. So we went in today, and it was great. It was brilliant. Young bloke called Tom, it was into it. And when I say geeky, I mean, I say that with respect as someone who is a geek, right? And my boys, we made a model and we painted it. And then we had a quick battle of Warhammer. And then we did some more painting. And then Tom said, so, would you like to get started? I'm thinking, here comes the cell. I went, well, what does that involve? He said, come and look at these kits. And he showed me the first starter kit would have cost around about 100 quid. I went, I don't think so. So he showed me a slightly smaller set. And the whole thing cost, I think, £48 with paints and stuff like that. And I thought, well, you know, I might as well. Because the boys enjoyed making it. The eldest boy enjoyed playing it because it involves rolling lots of dice and adding up and multiplying and doing all that kind of stuff. And he's into all that. He's geeky and he's mad. But Is it just fighting? This is a question, right? Because I always thought it was like Dungeons and Dragons, and of course it's not. Is it just fighting? If anyone knows, 0844 499 1000. And I'll be honest, being in the shop, it was like being in a meditation class. Because there were quite a few people coming in and looking at kits and. So some young men were painting and, you know, making their models and stuff. And it was all quite zen. It was all very focused and very zen. My boys make a load of noise because they were having the time of their life. But it was all very focused and very zen and very peaceful. Why am I telling you this? I don't know. It's part of the day, isn't it? And I'm kind of intrigued. I'm kind of intrigued to know more about it. 0844 499 1000. Darren's on the line. Evening, Darren.
Oh, hello.
Yes, Darren.
Hello.
You won't be on the line for much longer with that attitude.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was on speakerphone. I know you don't like speakerphone.
No. Or attitudes.
No. Sorry.
Nothing, Darren. What you got for us?
I haven't got attitude.
Well, that was attitude.
Yeah, that was, because you give me attitude.
Well, hang on a minute. When do I give you attitude?
Just let you... Just,
no, right, I said... Okay. No, hang on. You started with attitude, and I...
I said it was on speakerphone.
Well, no, you started with attitude, and then I mentioned the attitude, and suddenly the attitude was cubed.
Yeah, the attitude often is...
Here it is.
...with you.
That's it.
If somebody doesn't like it.
That's the act. That there, you just that what you just had then
I
was.
I don't believe it. I've been on.
That's
on,
it.
I've been on the hold for 48 minutes, and then you give me this.
Well, no, I'm not giving you anything. You're giving me attitude.
Who was the first person to mention attitude?
You.
No, it wasn't. It was you.
Who was the first person to have attitude?
It wasn't attitude. What I was saying, it was on speakerphone, and I know you don't like speakerphone.
But those were the words.
When you was got, I had it on speakerphone.
The words.
And I turned it off.
The word. No, but that right. First of all, the words are not attitudinal. It
Jesus,
was the
Ian. Could you start an argument in an empty room?
The words. Well, this is fun though, right?
Sorry,
you're getting genuinely angry now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am because.
Yeah, the words. Were not attitudinal. It was the attitude.
What attitude? I said
that one there.
Turn it off
there
because
that one there.
Yeah, I've got it now.
That.
I've got it now.
Yeah, I know.
Because
that.
You've given me it.
No, I'm not. I'm not giving you anything. You started with it. That's why I mentioned it.
Started with it. I just said, "Oh my life." Who was that fella the other week? What was the guy the other week? He was talking to you and you just really went at him. Is it because you're tired?
Well, hang on a minute. Now.
Is it because have you got like a migraine
No.
I was going to talk to you on your radio show about some really good things, and then you're the one with the attitude.
I've not got any attitude, Darren. I don't know what you're talking about. What are you mentioning the bloke from last week for? What's that got to do with anything?
Because it was... now you're doing it to me.
I'm not doing anything. I'm not. Well, you mentioned I had a go at some bloke. I'm not having a go at you. It's interesting. Exactly. It's your attitude. It's interesting that you think I'm having a go at you.
It's not my attitude. I was calling in. I've been on hold for 48 minutes. Why would I?
49.
Have an
it was 49 minutes. It was 49 minutes.
Well, 49 minutes. Then.
Yeah.
Why are you arguing about 1 minute?
I'm not arguing. I'm just dependent. I like accuracy.
Okay. So straight away, my points have gone.
But I've not done that. You've done that.
I haven't done nothing. Seriously, Ian, I don't know what's... I remember that guy the other night.
What are you talking about? What guy?
That guy called in. Hang on, let me speak.
I'm letting you speak, but if you could just try and speak and make sense.
I'm talking, then you're speaking over me.
All right.
The guy the other night. He called from Texas.
Yeah.
And you really went at him. You really went at him. And I was thinking, this guy's just making a point about the BBC.
No. Darren, we were having a discussion. We were having a little bit of radio...
No, because half an hour before that, a guy who was talking about he wants to kill people, he's basically a misogynist, let him go. You let him walk away.
Right, that was John.
Into the night.
Right. Darren.
You had a point about.
No, Darren. Yeah, I tell you what. What do you do for a living?
What's that got to do with you?
Because I tell you what I'll do is I'll come to your job one day and I'll tell you how to do your job because I don't have a clue how to do your job.
You won't, because when I'm in my job, I don't ask your input.
Right.
I don't phone you
right.
Up
but
to
then,
ask your input.
But
you're
then I am
for my input.
Yeah, but Darren,
I'm listening to the attitude.
Right. But I'm not asking for your direction.
Until you started bloody having a go.
Have you had a tough day?
Well, I've had a tough day. I've had a tough life. What's that do you?
Because at the moment, your tough day and your tough life are being taken out on me.
No, because you started it. This is how arguments start.
I didn't start anything, Darren. You started it by having an attitude.
I didn't have an attitude.
And let's just go back to the point.
I took it off speakerphone, right. And then you had an attitude.
No, the attitude was the attitude. The attitude.
You're
no, I'm not. I've had a great day. The attitude was
no,
the
you
s- said snoring.
You're having a bad day.
The attitude...
You weren't feeling great.
No, I didn't say I was having a bad day.
And you're
about...
taking it out on me.
You're taking it out on other callers
in the past.
Darren.
Because I've listened to you.
Darren.
Go on.
I didn't say I'd had a bad day. I've had a great day. I'm tired. I've had a long day. I've had a great day.
Oh, you're tired.
The
oh,
snoring. It was the snoring. Was the snoring. So the snoring wasn't attitude.
I'm tired.
The snoring wasn't attitude.
The what?
The snoring at the start of the call. That wasn't attitude.
Who was snoring?
You were snoring at the start of the call.
I was not snoring. I was taking it off speakerphone.
It sounded like snoring to me.
And I said to you, I took it off speakerphone because in the past I've heard you saying, take it off speakerphone.
Okay.
I had it on speakerphone because I was on hold for 48
minutes. What is
your problem,
Darren? I don't know what your problem is. It was 49 minutes.
It's your attitude.
But I haven't got an attitude, Darren. I haven't got an attitude.
You have.
But I haven't got an attitude.
You've had it in the past. You've had it from the other, like that caller from Texas the other day. You had an absolute arsehole of an attitude.
Right, Darren, what's your language, buddy, all right?
Just watch your language.
It's the attitude again coming through.
Saying that swearing is an attitude, it's not.
Okay.
It shows a lack of intelligence.
All right, that's fine. It's a lack of intelligence.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Now, Darren.
Lack of intelligence. The argument with the fella about
just
the...
somebody swears.
Darren, the lack...
You're an idiot, Ian Lee. You're an idiot. You still there?
Yeah. I'm sorry, my alarm went off on my phone.
Okay, well, that's the idiot alarm, probably.
No. It was an alarm I set.
Yeah. We're idiots, like you.
Okay. Where is this... Darren, you've all right. You've really surprised me, mate.
No, because you're an idiot. Ian, you've had a go at me.
I've not had a go.
Radio show.
Darren.
Darren. Listen to me.
I've not had a go. No, hang on a minute. Your fader's down there. I don't do that very often. I do that with very special callers who've got really bad attitudes. I've not had a go. Here we go. Let me see. The argument with the Texan, right? That was sport. That wasn't. We didn't fall out. That was sport. And I
didn't sound like that.
Well, no, because I'm good at my job.
Like you was horrible to him.
Well, that's how you interpreted it, Darren. But I'm good at my job, mate. I know what I'm doing, and that's why he will call back. Jonathan, who I'm assuming you're talking about, I didn't let him get away with anything. I picked him up on every single point.
You do. You always let him get away with it. You always. And then about half an hour later, you had that Texan who you just went for. And that guy, I don't know where he was, but when you just...
Right, hang on a second. Jonathan. Darren, calm down, mate. Calm down. You're embarrassing yourself. Jonathan.
I'm not embarrassing myself. I'm embarrassing you because you're an idiot.
Well, I'm not the one chucking out insults, mate. Jonathan.
Hello.
Hello, Jonathan. Do I let you get away with stuff?
No.
Okay, well, there you go, Darren.
Oh, okay. That's the argument gone then.
Well, yeah, because you're wrong.
You've got Jonathan on.
Well, you're wrong.
What about my perception as a listener?
Well, maybe you should stop listening, Darren, because it's obviously you're hearing a different show to the one that's being broadcast in. I'm not going to change, Darren. I'm not going to change the act for you, mate. So maybe you need to change the radio station, because this is the act, dude. This is the show.
Yeah, okay, is that your speak? I called in and waited 48 minutes to talk to you about something simple.
Right.
But you had an attitude.
I've not had any attitude.
You had an attitude, and you keep saying this.
I've not called anyone an idiot.
What did you say at the beginning? Stop with the attitude.
Yeah, I didn't call anyone an idiot, Darren. You're the one that's throwing out insults willy-nilly.
Oh, already, straight away.
We're not already straight away. We've been talking now for 8 minutes, and you're the one that's calling me an idiot. And yet I'm still here talking to you.
I'm saying you're an idiot the way you perceive my call.
Oh, well, okay, but you're... All right, Darren, well...
Listen, we're going to go round and round and round.
Exactly, so I suggest you put
the phone down. You know that, I know that. So end the call, and I won't listen to your radio show, and I won't call you again.
That's perfect by me, buddy.
Brilliant,
Thank you. Well done. Here we go, one more insult, go on.
But Jonathan will ring forever.
And he's much more. He's much more. Well, mate, what's your language? Come on, he's much more interesting than you.
What's your language? Just use the dump button.
Well, no, I don't want to use the dump button, Darren. But I will do if you keep swearing.
Well, what I've said the S word and I've said the B word. That ain't, you know what I mean? Ain't going to shut down the radio.
No, but there are rules. But Darren, first of all, there are rules, and secondly,
there are rules. Yeah. I understand that. I'm not
exactly. So what?
I'm not an idiot.
Well, okay, mate. You're not an idiot, and I'm an idiot. But you're the one that's been on the phone for an hour.
How the hell has this even come to the situation?
I've got no idea, Darren.
I was talking about Stranger Things.
I've got no idea, mate. It's come from nowhere.
It come from you!
Don't get so excited.
Excited? See, you demean everything. You do it all the time. You demean something. When people get excited, they'll get angry.
Darren, I've not said anything. Well, I don't know what you're going on about.
You started with that attitude, not me.
Okay, fine, but you're still on the phone and you're getting really excited.
Well, apologise then.
For what?
For having that attitude when somebody's been waiting on for 48 minutes, 49 minutes, I'm sorry.
I'm really sorry for whatever it is that you felt I've done wrong.
You ain't sorry.
Well, no, you've told me to apologise for something and I've apologised and you're still not happy, Darren. You're insatiable.
Oh, insatiable. Well, I've never been called that before, but...
No. Go and look it up. It's a good word.
Yeah, no, I understand the meaning.
Oh, OK, right,
this
fine.
This is what you do as well. You do that as well. You just go, I'll come out with a big word.
OK, well, insatiable's not a big word, Darren. If you think it is, you probably need to go and read some bigger words, mate. It's not a big word.
I could call you a four-letter word, but, you know, I won't. I'll just call off.
OK, bye-bye. Oh, man alive. What happened there? Oh, man alive. 0844 499 1000.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0844 499 1000. Yes, Pete?
Is this the right room for an argument?
I've just asked everyone on Periscope, and I've just asked it. Was I too hard there, Pete?
No, not at all. I have no idea what was going on.
And I won't mind if people phone up and say, yeah, you were too hard on me. I won't mind. Someone on Simon on Twitter said, Darren, where has it gone? Darren is spot on. Well said. The act has changed this week. I don't think it has. And I accept Simon by saying, has it asked?
I think you're starting sticking up for yourself a bit more in terms of sort of criticism and things, but
I'm allowed to do. And the thing with the American is for those who missed it,
bullshine.
We were just having an argument about impartiality at the BBC, and it was a heated late night radio phone-in argument. It was fine, and his line cut off. I didn't cut him off. The American guy, his line cut off. And it was a fine chat. And Jonathan calls in, and Jonathan's going to come up next. And Jonathan doesn't get an easy... If anyone's listened, Jonathan doesn't get an easy ride with me. I tell him exactly what I think of his obnoxious, poisonous views. So, you know, I don't know what he was... He's had a tough week. And, you know, what was his name? Darren, you know, you're more than welcome... I know you're still listening. Good evening to you, Darren. You're more than welcome to call in again. Of course you are. You know, it's absolutely fine. Or you're more than welcome to go and listen to, you know, a different radio show. That's what it's all about. Let me just do a little body check and just see where I am. Tight throat, salivating, tightness in the chest. Yeah, I'm feeling a slightly tighter grip. So that means that I'm a little bit wounded and upset, which is fine. And that's not a criticism of Darren. Some people may now call me a snowflake. And my pulse is going a bit fast, so I'm excited. So where am I? I'm excited. I'm upset. I'm confused. And if I'm honest, I'm chuckling a little bit inside. That's a fair assessment. That's where I am. That's an honest and true assessment. Anyway, 0844 499 1000. What you got for us, Pete?
Well, I was originally turned up to explain Stranger Things.
Could you drop the attitude, please, mate?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
He was snoring at the start. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's not here to defend himself. yeah, go on. So this Stranger Things programme, is it any good?
Yeah, I watched the first episode out of curiosity, I think, last Saturday. And by the end of Sunday, I'd watched all eight.
Oh, it's one of
it's
those.
That kind of show.
Is it? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the premise?
It's kind of the Goonies meets Twin Peaks. It's... Very. It is in this 80s town, and there's this kind of extra-dimensional monster that kidnaps a child, and so it's all about Winona Ryder catch trying to find the kid. But there's all sorts of other... The kid's friends get involved as well, and there's a girl with psychic powers, and it all gets very, strange.
I heard them talking about this on Radio 4, actually. This does ring a bell. Is it any good, apart from the huge faux pas of having... the Bangles, a 1985 song playing in 1982 or 3. Is it any good?
It is.
Brilliant.
Oh, I'm hoping it gets a second series.
Oh, OK. I hope it doesn't, because second series will be disappointing, and that means they'll have to make a third series, and eventually it'll get cancelled.
Well, it's Netflix. They renew things on the drop of a hat.
Are they going to make... Oh, no, this is Amazon. When is Amazon going to make a second series of The Man in the High Castle? I enjoyed
when
that.
Enough people watch it to make it financially viable.
I enjoyed that.
I've not seen it, although with Jonathan on the online, the one thing he's reminding me, I did watch Star Trek Beyond this week.
Oh, hang on a second. Well, Jonathan's there. Jonathan, do you want to hear about Star Trek Beyond?
I've already seen it.
Did it turn you gay?
No.
What did the incredible scenes of bumming make you nauseous?
There were no scenes of bumming.
Okay. Oh, that's disappointing. I thought it was going to be...
The whole Sulu gay thing was a storm in a teacup.
A big gay storm in a big pink teacup.
Well, there's literally nothing on screen that would distinguish it from, say, his brother being in the scene. You know, I agree with that. The most it gets is...
Hang on a minute. Jonathan, did you just agree with the whole thing's a storm in a teacup?
Yeah.
Because it was you that phoned up to bang on a... And you brought the teacup to the party, then you poured storm into it.
The teacup was already there.
OK, I'll give you that. But you certainly brewed a storm in that teacup.
I just mixed it a little bit. Well, apparently there was a kiss, but it was cut from the finished film. Oh, good. But, yeah, in the actual film itself, there's... I mean, what I will say is that there's nothing in the original Star Trek canon to suggest that original Sulu wasn't gay.
But it's not
agree with that.
It's not the same Sulu, though.
No, it's a different timeline, but you'd argue that Sulu would... The characters would be roughly the same, probably. But there's nothing to suggest that the original Sulu wasn't gay.
Right, OK. Well, didn't he have a daughter, the original Sulu?
He has a daughter in this.
OK. Oh, well, which, of course, they can do.
Yep.
Well, is it any good, Pete? Would it be... Now, bearing in mind my 6 and 4-year-olds went and saw the last Star Wars film, would they like this, do you think?
I think so. It's the most Star Trek-y film since one of the later Patrick Stewart ones. It's properly... It's a nice character film. You know, everyone gets their bit.
OK. Well, I might take the boys to see that, because I like a little bit of Star... I'm a bit geeky. I like a bit of Star Trek.
Yeah, you should.
Thank you, Pete. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Tutty bye. Tutty bye. Yes, Jonathan?
Hello.
I'm getting grief for giving you an easy ride.
What planet must they be on?
Anyway, what have you got for us, Jonathan?
I was flicking through the stations at about 10 o'clock this evening, and I heard a rather unusual news story on 5 Live.
How long were you flicking through the stations for?
About 5 minutes.
Okay. I can just about live with that. Just about. Go on. What was the unusual story on 5 Live?
Apparently, the Swedish government are going to initiate a 3-year investigation into the private sex lives of their citizens. Because apparently, according to surveys, Swedes are having declining numbers of sexual encounters.
Oh, God.
And the government are worried that this may be part of the stress in society.
Well, but not sex to procreate, sex just to have fun.
Well, I think it is partly procreation, although they would hate to admit it, because if people are having less sex, then there will be less children born, and that will have an impact on government policy in the future.
Yeah.
I just thought that was...
Well, So is there a survey on people having sex or people having babies? Because they are different things.
It's sex. It is about sex, and it's a 3-year study.
How are they going to do that? So 3-year study. So they want to see, you know, the average couple doing it at least once. Then, blimey, how are they going to do it? Are they going to like install cameras, or are they going to just go and knock on doors?
I have no idea. This is Sweden. It's the land of crazy. But I could save the Swedish taxpayer millions of krona by identifying the two root causes of the problem, and I have 3 solutions to it.
Okay.
Well, the first reason is no man is going to want to have sex with a woman in Sweden if they fear that they're going to be prosecuted on a false rape allegation, because Sweden is the feminist equivalent of Saudi Arabia.
Oh, here we go. I knew we couldn't be cheeky and smiley for too long. Darren's just been in touch on Twitter. Are you the... Harry H. Harmon is his name. Darren here. No attitude. You were wrong. You caused that, not me. Have a nice sleep and I'll call Monday... So you can apologise prop.
I think alcohol was involved.
Let's not, because he's not here to defend himself. So I don't want to, you know, cast any aspersions. But he is.
It was fun. It was entertaining.
Well, of course it was. He's in Milton Keynes, so that would explain it. No, Darren, I'm you're more than welcome to call in, but I'm going to as is my wont on Twitter these days, I'm going to block you. You will make all kinds of things up about that, and that is absolutely wonderful, but it is my choice to block you on Twitter, and I'm allowed to do that. Jonathan, you're boring me now, so I'm going to cut you off. Let's go to Craig. Evening, Craig. Oh, hang on a second. There you are. Hello, Craig.
Evening, Ian.
Evening, Craig.
I can only afford a five-minute argument.
Oh, man alive. It's left me feeling uncomfortable, but I'm going to block that there because that's what I'm allowed to do. I'm allowed to block people, and that will then create a whole... You block me, you can't stand criticism and stuff like that. Was it... What happened, Craig?
It just got off to a bad start, didn't it?
Yeah.
It didn't. He didn't play along.
No.
And we never did get to hear what he wanted to see. So no. It was his loss.
No. Well, you know, and again, I don't want to be rude about thing. I don't want to be rude about him because he's not here, you know. But
no.
I don't know. I'm guessing. I would guess, and some people on Twitter are agreeing with him. I would guess he's not been listening very long, and I'm making that up. I don't know, but I imagine he's not been listening to this show for quite a while. So. So I don't know, but I'm you know, if you were offended, Darren, I apologise. Craig, what you got for us?
Well, Keenan, well, I've been listening to your yesterday's show just before this.
Oh yeah.
So you've been on for like 5.5 hours.
Flipping heck, man, that would drive you nuts.
But you ended on Keenan and Cal, and then started on Keenan and Cal with callers.
Yeah, lovely bit of Keenan and Cal.
They've been working together twice recently, and they're thinking of doing a 20th anniversary show.
20th anniversary of Keenan and Kel. Who'd have thunk it?
Because Keenan, as you've been told, is in Saturday Night Live.
Oh, I've just had a text. Do you know what the text on my mobile phone? Do you know what the text said?
I can't imagine.
Your parking is about to expire. I forgot to phone up and cancel my parking at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Oh, right.
Oh, well, never mind.
Where's the car?
Well, the car isn't parked there anymore. I left. It's one of those ones where you can phone up.
Oh, right, you're paying all the way up until now.
Yeah!
Oh, no.
Flipping it.
A bit of rubbish.
Yeah.
But Cal, he's on Nickelodeon. He's got a kids' sitcom.
Yeah.
Where he plays game makers. The show's called Game Shakers.
Yeah.
And he plays the boss of a games company.
Oh,
so he's got work as well in a minute. Fascinating fact.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's interesting.
Well, to me, it's been a constant for 5 hours. This Keenan and Cal thread.
Were they ever any good, Keenan and Cal? Were they?
Yeah, they were part of the good lot of Nickelodeon shows.
Okay.
Well. I you know, it's quite good. You know, Picnic at Hanging Rock.
Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
No, I thought it was boring. And unpleasant.
Because there's a thing, because the ending, it was just never explained, was it, the whole thing?
Yeah.
But apparently the guy wrote the book.
Yeah.
And in the last chapter, it was like interdimensional Beatles did it all, the abductions.
Right.
And the publisher said, yeah, lose the last chapter. And it became this great mystery story.
I thought it was based on a true story.
Nah.
Oh.
It's a novel.
Oh.
But, yeah, so it could have been even worse with a like a B-movie monster flick at the end.
It was. I found it quite... oh, by the way, Craig, I've got to go.
Yeah, Craig.
Bye. Sorry, I've just seen the time. I've got loads of calls to rattle through. Don't call in anyone else. We've got Darren, we've got Tris, we've got Gatford, we've got Dan and we've got Mark. Let's go through them in fairness. Yes, Mark.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you, Mark. What have you got for us tonight?
Well, I've got many things. Last time I called up, I tried to do something and it failed. Do you remember, Mark and Ollie?
Oh, crikey, yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, I know. It was. I haven't got a plan tonight, though. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to talk to you.
Okay.
I wanted to tell you, I've just been on my first ever holiday out of the country.
Right. How did that go?
Do you know what? It was good. And I'm 26, by the way.
Yeah.
My first ever time out of the country.
Where did
first
you...
First time on a plane.
Where did you go?
I went to Portugal.
Everyone's going to Portugal at the moment. Everyone's off to Portugal.
It's so nice. It's so nice. But the first time on a plane, nobody warned me what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit intense.
But what do you mean, no one? What happened that you weren't expecting?
But when you're taking off, I thought it was going to be like this whole, just sort of a gradual kind of, you know, building up speed. Nobody told me that, like, all of a sudden it just goes bang.
Yeah, it's a flipping aeroplane, you muppet. Of course it is. That's what happens.
I kind of realised this afterwards. And maybe I was a bit late in thinking.
You see,
that,
the runways aren't that long. They've got to get to maximum velocity quite quickly.
I was very scared, Ian. It was quite intense. But it was okay. I survived. Yeah.
Well, they blow up in the air sometimes, don't they? Or crash in the sea. So, or get shot down by the Russians. So, yeah, you were right to be scared, definitely.
Well, I suppose. But statistically, isn't it safer than driving in a car? Or is that just because there's more cars?
That's what they say. Well, no, hang on. Yeah, there are more cars, but that's statistically. That's why it's statistically safer.
I suppose percentages. Oh, we're getting a bit mathematical.
But if you're going to die in a car crash, I'd rather die in a car crash than a descending aeroplane.
Would you? I don't know, actually. I think it must be quite sudden.
So an aeroplane plunges out of the sky and there's 300 screaming people on there and you think that will be all right? You think that will be a laugh? You're nuts!
Maybe, it wouldn't be that well.
Ditch the attitude!
Sorry, the attitude is bad, isn't it? I'm so sorry. That guy, by the way, interesting.
Okay. Next tip for when you call in next time: switch off the blooming radio in the background, you plum. I don't know what you're trying. I know that they're all there and it's all his mates and stuff. I don't know what's going on there. I tell you what we'll do: Darren, Tris, Gatford, and Dan. I will talk to you after midnight. Loads of calls tonight. Talk to you after midnight, and then we'll do straight to air. So if you're thinking of phoning in for straight to air, hold off for a little bit because we'll get through these and. Then we will take your calls. And the way it works, you can call in about anything. And you can call in about the argument. And while I'm open to suggestions on how to do my job, I'm quite good at it. So I know what I'm doing. But some of you disagree with the way I spoke to Darren, and that's fine. So I'm a bit windy pops at the moment, and some of you agree with it. And here's the thing. Sometimes when people phone in, because this show gets so many phone calls, you could be on hold for like half an hour or 40 minutes. That doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. You are well within your rights if you get bored of waiting to put your phone down. That is entire. We phone you back. We don't after midnight, obviously. But you are well within your rights to put your phone down. So using that as an argument, that was your choice. You know, it's your choice as a caller if you want to stay on hold or not. OK, happy now, guys. Good. All right. Let's have some adverts. I'll see you on the other side.
Talk radio.
Right. Darren, Gatford and Dan, stay there. I'm going to come to you straight after the news and then we'll do calls straight to air. How does that work? It's very, very simple. And sometimes it works. And sometimes it doesn't work. I'll explain it all in a bit. I'm Ian Lee. It's midnight. This is Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Little fella, you're so tired. You can hardly lift your head. But you want to hear a story before you go to bed. So if you'll be quiet and listen patiently, I'll sing you a song that my mother sang to me. Little cowboy, put your saddle in the barn, tie your horse up tight so we'll know no harm. Put your hat and your guns beside you on the chair. Don't forget you got to say a little prayer. Little cowboy, you better hit the Sandman trail or you'll be late for round the time you know. you wanna be a cowboy, you better rest a while. Little cowboy baby of the old corral. Little cowboy baby of the old corral.
Of lots. Darren's just responded to me on Twitter and called me the C word. Just been blocked by that Muppet Ian Lee. I always thought he was a... you waited 49 minutes to talk to a C word, Darren. I think that says... I think that says more about you.
Oh, God.
I was questioning whether I'd been too harsh on him, but... Yeah, no. Now I know. Look forward to his call on Monday, and I'm glad you're still listening, Darren. Another Darren, different Darren. Yes, different Darren. Oh no, hang on, I've got to press the button, haven't I? Yes, different Darren.
Hi, Ian.
I'd forgotten how the computer system works there for a second. It's been one of them days. What you got for us, Darren?
Well, just basically a ring in to say, well, I was just going to go out and pop and catch some Pokemon.
Will the Pokemon be awake?
I don't know.
It's quite late, isn't it, for Pokemon?
Yeah, but there's no other players playing.
So oh, so you can go and...
Maybe give me a better chance of...
You're going to go
catching them all.
Catch them all up. If you're calling in for straight to air, don't, because we've got a few more calls to get through. There is one person in England claiming he's caught them all.
Caught them all already?
Yeah, he's got them all.
Well, basically, I was going to go out, but I can't because I've just cracked my screen. I'm looking for my son's iPod to try and log in on his, but he's asleep and I don't want to wake him up.
Hang on, you've cracked your screen, what, on your car?
No, I'm on my phone.
Your phone, well...
But I do play Pokemon Android sometimes. It is addictive.
Well, you can't drive a car whilst playing Pokemon. That is...
Well, my van, really. I do it while I'm driving.
Oh, if it's a van, then that's absolutely fine. I can't really find many Pokemon. The problem I've got with the game, Darren, right, is I don't think the GPS is very good.
I don't know. I haven't had any problems with it.
Well, when I'm on the map, right, and I'm walking around, it doesn't always show me moving.
Do you do it while you drive as well?
No, I don't do it when I'm... Do you get Pokemon in the...
I was listening the other day. Yes. It's so funny when you were talking about that, the Stokey... De Niro.
Stokey De Niro, yes. Local heroes, yes.
Yeah, that made me chuckle to myself. He's like, you talking to me?
Yep, well, okay. How many Pokemon have you got?
Um, 300.
You've literally never played it, have you, Darren?
Yeah.
What's your favourite?
Every day.
What's your favourite Pokemon you've
got? I even went to Italy just and I played it in Italy.
No, you didn't, because the data roaming there, now that we've left the EU, will be huge. Remember, David Cameron told us.
No, it was I'm on 02, $1.99 a day.
Oh, okay. Well, fair play. That's good. How many Italian Pokemon?
I'm not a liar, Ian.
I think you might be a liar, Darren.
What happened with that other Darren earlier? How come you spoke to him like that? What happened?
I didn't speak to him like anything.
Because I tuned in after and I've just been listening. I'm like, wow, what's happened?
You missed all the fun. It turns out that all Darrens are idiots.
So I'm an idiot.
Well, what's your name?
Darren?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, it's bad news, huh?
I suppose, yeah.
What are you going to do?
Don't know, really, don't you?
Just go and get your son's iPod or iPad and take it out. Go Pokemon.
Well, I'll have to wake him up.
Why have you got to wake him up?
I don't know where it is.
Just go in with a torch.
I have. I've looked all around his room. I can't find it.
How old is he?
4.
Oh.
Hello.
Why has a 4-year-old got an iPad?
An iPod.
Well, you can't play. Can you play Pokemon on an iPod?
You just called me an idiot, and now you're saying my son's got an iPad, and I said it was an iPod.
I apologise, Darren. You're right. That was bang out of order of me.
Although I've been nice to you. You've been a bit nasty, to be honest.
It's the attitude again from the Darrens.
I haven't got any attitude. I've been very nice. I like to. I listen every single... I'm just a bit nervous because I'm on a radio station in front of millions of people. And
well, millions is a little bit...
Pardon?
Millions is a little bit of an exaggeration. Maybe tens. Oh.
Tens of millions.
No. Well, I say wake your boy up. Get his... What was it? What are you doing there?
I just said that to my friend and he said you can't wake your son up just for Pokemon.
Yeah, of course you can. He's four. He'll go back to sleep again.
Yeah.
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 Well, I hope you have...
And go and play Pokemon.
Yeah, and there's another adult there to look after him when you go out, is there?
No, I'm just going to walk around the drive.
You can't... Darren, you
his
can't...
Mum's gone. His mum's out. She's out drinking. I don't know.
You can't leave.
No, I'll just go on the drive. I'm not going to run off down the road. I'll just go on the drive. I'm not a bad parent. Oh, you're going to all start jizzing me now. I just want to go on the drive.
I'm not going to start jizzing you.
Jizzing? That's disgusting. Jizzing.
You said jizzing. You're going to start jizzing me now.
No, I didn't. I said judging.
Okay.
That's really rude and vulgar. I want to say that.
Okay.
What have you had to dinner tonight, Ian?
What have I had for dinner?
I had pizza.
Thanks for calling, Darren.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Oh, Gatford.
Is there a full moon out tonight? Let me just open the window. Yes, it's howling tonight. Oh, my word. You attract some right sort.
Oh, man alive. I don't know what is going on tonight.
Clearly the name Darren needs to be banned from phoning or Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. What a bunch. Hold on, sorry. Hi. I'm Howard Hughes. That was that. Because you know that little bit at the end? Hughes.
Oh, look. Darren on Twitter, right? The original Darren.
Right. Darren 1.
Darren 1 is going... He's going nuts to his 6 followers.
Wow.
Just been blocked by Ian Lee because he's an absolute tool. I always thought he was a proper crumb. Let's say crumb instead of the C word, right?
Yeah.
Ian seems to be a little upset. His troop of... Now, misogynistic and racist are both spelt incorrectly, but it's late at night. Mates, must be cheering from the rafters. These are all hashtag talk radio, right? The next one's brilliant. Come on, the Darrens. Now, that can't be real. And then 48 minutes... Sorry, yeah. 49 minutes to talk to hashtag Ian Lee. You keep spelling my name wrong, dude, so the hashtag won't go anywhere. And get that. Listen again and tell me I was snoring. Bollocks, he is an idiot. Okay, man.
Brilliant. That's class.
Here we go. Gatford. He says now, let's get Gatford on to make you feel better. Gatford, if anything, he makes me feel worse. He's the most boring caller ever. He drives me absolutely nuts with his tedious, boring calls. It makes me feel worse.
You had Philip from South Nord on. What's your language?
Fair play. That was duller.
Yeah, come on. I'm not going to talk about plastic bags.
Dull and duller.
Well, Philip's a legend, though. I couldn't compete with that.
Well, now listen, get to the point before I block Darren again for being a plumber.
Right. Well, you know how you want to attract more ladies?
Yeah, to the show.
To the show.
To the show.
Have you ever thought of going on, like, Loose Women or something? I'm being serious. I'm not being facetious.
Well, but what would I go on Loose Women for?
Well, you could promote the CD or the...
They're not going to invite me on to... They get proper stars like Peter Andre and stuff.
You could get your wangle your way on there. Get your agent on it.
I could do what?
Wangle your way on there.
Okay.
Have a word with that McGiffin woman. She knows you, doesn't she?
She's not on there anymore.
Yeah, you must know someone on there.
I don't know anybody.
To the female demographic.
I don't know anybody on there. I'm not. My star is in the dis. Is, well, it's way in the dis. I couldn't even get asked on Celebrity Big Brother, Gatford. I'm not going to get on Loose Women.
I was very shocked that Kath didn't turn up on there, to be honest.
On Celebrity Big Brother?
Yeah, I was kind of hoping.
She said no. She
no, well, fair enough. No. No,
Darren, you're still listening, right?
Oh, of course they do.
I'm starting to think he was a wind-up because
he sounded genuinely angry. Annoyed. He got more and more annoyed. He started off with a bit of the laugh with you,
yeah.
And then at some point,
I thought he was joking.
He just flipped.
I thought he was joking. But I've you know, it's all groovy, Darren. It's all groovy, man. It's all theatre. It's all a show.
Yeah.
Gafford, I'm going to cut you off.
Yep.
Yes, Dan. Now,
yeah,
that was snoring.
Yeah, that was snoring.
Okay, fine. Fair enough.
I've had a busy week.
Yeah, we've all had a busy week. You know, some busier than others, some more stressful than others, some less stressful. Yeah, than others. Some people haven't had a busy week. Actually, imagine not having a busy week. That would be awesome.
I had a quiet afternoon. I got the afternoon off work.
Oh,
yeah. My partner did fall down the stairs the other day and remains heavily concussed, so I had to come home. But you know,
but still worth it. Worth putting those roller skates at the top of the stairs.
That's the bonus of having a toddler. There's the
yay, yeah. Nice move.
Exactly. Keenan and Kel, they got together about a year or so ago.
No, they didn't, mate. They were together about 20 years ago because it's their 20th anniversary. So that's a lie from the offset.
You're a funny man.
Thanks, man.
Yes, all right. No, they did. You know, there's two Jimmys that do late night talk shows in America. There's Jimmy A,
Jimmy Connors.
Yeah, Jimmy Connors and Jimmy Fallon.
Webb.
Let's say.
Jimmy Connors and Jimmy Webb. Yes.
That's it. And they did an episode of the Keenan and Kel show on one of the Jimmy shows.
Did they?
They did.
Oh.
It is on YouTube. You can track it down.
I won't.
No, I wouldn't blame you. I'm going to give you a choice, Ian, because you can have tonight.
Yeah.
The Littlest Hobo.
Yeah.
Dallas.
Oh.
Or Neighbours.
Let's go for Neighbours, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Apologies for the noise there. Neighbours. The weird thing about this,
yes,
is that they've recycled the open title.
Have you put your neighbour in your mouth? Because now you're all muffled.
Sorry, there we are. Now I had to get the adequate sound. I had to put a headphone over there.
Yes.
But yeah, they've retitled it as Nachbarn.
Nachbarn.
Yeah, new logo and everything. Except it says all the titles are in English. Apart from the actual name of the programme.
Well, that is absolutely insane. Dan, thank you very much. Let's take one call straight to air, then we'll go to a break, because this guy's been calling for a while. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Oh, yeah, how you doing, mate?
I'm all right, thank you very much indeed. What you got for us?
Sound. I just wanted to know, why are you being horrible to all the Darrens? Because my name's Daryl.
Well, you're a Daryl. You're a Daryl?
Yeah, I've got
beautiful. Welcome to the show, Daryl. Welcome. What can I do for you, Daryl?
Nothing much. I'm just kind of catching up on you. I'm not listening to you for a bit.
It's great to have a Daryl on board at last. Someone with a decent name and a little bit of intelligence. And if I may say so, Daryl, you're looking good.
Yeah. Can you see me?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're looking good. You smell wonderful. Not like those horrible Darrens. Oh God, those guys. Oh.
Losers. Bit loyal, aren't they? Yeah.
Losers.
The first one got really indignant with you for some reason.
Indignant is a good word. But I don't want to be rude about him because he's not here. The second one was a plum. I don't want to be rude about him because he's not here, though, and it would be easy to do that, and I'm not all about it being easy, so I'm not going to be too rude about him. Daryl, thank you very much indeed. Let's have a quick break, then we'll take calls straight to air.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Just muting and blocking, guys. Muting and blocking. We'll take calls straight to air. The way it normally works is you will phone up. You'll speak to Emma as it is at the moment, and she will take your number and call you back. But after midnight on Fridays, we don't do that. You ring up. I see your number on the screen. I touch the screen and go, line one, you're on the wireless.
Yeah, all right. You were, mate. I've got some attitude for you, mate. How much do you want?
I could do with a hefty dollop, please, if that would be okay.
All right, yeah. Don't be funny about it. Yeah?
Right.
How much do you want? Yeah,
It turns out I've got quite a bit already. So just a smidgen of attitude tonight, please, if that's okay.
All right, a smidgen. I'll do a smidgen for a ton, mate. Yeah, so that's all right.
That sounds perfect to me. Yep.
All right, brilliant. I'll hit some attitude your way then. You got any? What sort of attitude you want, mate?
Arsy, please.
Arsy attitude. Right. Well, I'll rummage around in there and see what I've got. So do you have any other mates you might be interested in a bit of attitude?
I can sort
them out as well. I've got some good sources.
Just a ton's worth of arsey attitude for me would be wonderful. Thank you very much. Line two, you're on the wireless.
No, not the hair centre, the chair centre. Oh God, give me strength.
Thank you very much indeed. Let's go to line one. Line one, you're on the wireless. Oh, they've got their radio on, you see. Hello, line one. Hello? Turn your radio off, you plum. If your number ends 8757, that's you on the air now. You do worry when it's something like this that it might be someone's been kidnapped and they've managed to, with their hands gaffer tape together, they managed to reach into their phone pocket with the phone in and dial the last number, and instead of it being something useful, it's this. Anything? No? Okay, well, there we go. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You're more than welcome to. Let's go to line one. One, you're on the wireless. Hello? What is going on with everyone tonight? Hello? Right, okay. Let's try this one. Line two, you're on the wireless. Okay. And sometimes people call up to make points, and sometimes they call up to be silent and to make noises down the phone, and it's all fine. And we're doing straight to air tonight, and I'm in my head, we're going to keep doing it on Friday nights, but I'm not totally committed to it. I'm going to do it certainly for the next few weeks. Although, actually, I won't be able to do it on the 12th because we're going to be in Edinburgh. So we may not do it. We'll see. We might find a little workaround. We're going to do it for a few weeks to see if it works. And if it doesn't work, then that's groovy, man. You know, and if you can't experiment at midnight on a Friday night on the radio, then when can you, really? Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello, I'm a lady called Linda.
Hello, Lady Linda.
Hello. I'd like to tell you how to get more lady callers.
Fantastic. Yes, please.
You know you're doing the show on Periscope?
Yes.
Yeah. Take your shirt off.
Sorry?
Take your top off.
I...
Now, do it.
No.
Come on, do it.
I...
The ladies want it. Take it off.
No, I don't...
Get it off.
No, I want the show to be successful... Because it's a good show, not because of my...
Then show me what I want.
and there, I just... Now I know exactly what you ladies feel like all the flipping time. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone. God, Darren is really going berserk on... going berserk on Twitter. I don't know. Here's a question for you guys. Let me just take this call first. Yes, line one, you're on the wireless.
Hey, Ian, how you doing, man?
I'm all right, thanks. I'm a little bit shaken, but I'm a little bit upset, but I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right.
Cool. Yeah, I've only been on for about ten seconds, so...
These things happen.
Yeah, the nerves hit me now, actually. Can you hear my voice?
Yes, yes, I can.
Yeah, I just sort of can't breathe, actually. Shit. Sure.
All right, watch your language. Watch your language, but go on. Take a deep breath. Don't worry. Take a deep breath. Breathe.
Yeah, I've been tweeting you all week, and I can't even breathe, man. Right,
just relax.
It's normal.
Yeah, it is normal. Just relax. Take a deep breath, man, through your nose.
Yeah, I have now. Basically, I've been tweeting you since Monday night, and every tweet you've ignored.
Yeah.
But I think I've been a bit arsy with you.
Well, what have you been saying on Twitter?
Trying to be clever and that.
What have you been saying on Twitter? Because I've been, you may not have heard, but I've deliberately been off Twitter for the last week or so, and I'm not engaging with anyone on there.
You were on Monday and Tuesday, yeah?
What did I say?
You were reading out tweets, but I was just being a bit smarmy, I think.
What were you saying?
I don't know. I can't remember exactly.
We can find out.
Kind of howled. My Twitter thing is... How with about six L's,
right
at the end? Yeah, I just.
But what? I don't know what you were.
No big deal. I just thought I didn't even think I'd get through. Or just what are you... anything you've got to say, really?
How is it a picture of like man on a monkey on a goat?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So.
No worries.
But what? I don't know what you've been saying. I've muted you.
You've muted me.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get any indication of that at all.
No, you won't. That's the thing.
You what? Sorry.
That's the thing. You won't. You don't know that you've been muted.
Yeah.
What did you? You must have sent me something that annoyed me then.
I've been quite pleasant, but just a bit sort of. I don't know. Just sort of not pleasant, if you know what I mean.
Well, that would be why I muted you. Because if you were being not pleasant, that's the same
edgy
as
I was being.
That's
edgy.
The same as unpleasant.
Not being like nice, but sort of not unpleasant. At the same time, sort of thing.
Well, you must... Come on. You must...
I'll go through my tweets and see if there's anything that, you know, I think...
I'm going through it now.
You are?
I'm going through it now. But you
I can't remember. I don't have my computer with me.
But you must... Listen, you're saying yourself... This is my new attitude, right, I'm avoiding Twitter as much as I can. I got a bit sucked in tonight because my life is better when I avoid it. And if people say stuff that I don't like, I'm either going to block them or mute them, right? And that's my prerogative to do that.
Yeah,
But you... Hey, oh, here we go. You're a twat.
That was in a friendly sort of tone, though. Like, you do say that. You're a twat, man. You're
Sort
of thing. It wasn't like. It wasn't personal. Or everyone calls everyone that. If you know what I mean? And you call
Ian Lee just said arty and farty, the illegitimate.
The
B word.
At the bar. That's not really blockable.
Well, I didn't block you, I muted you. That's definitely mutable.
That's even worse, though, being muted. It's kind of, I've wasted, I don't know, about an hour trying to communicate. I sent you a Beach Boys link last night to be...
Well, I don't click on links.
Okay. I was just trying to, you know, show we had some common ground rather than...
No.
Sort of being, you know, sort of... I just get wired on Twitter as well. It's kind of like...
Oh, you kept going on about smoking spliffs and stuff.
That's not a bad thing. I mean, I'm sure you've been there and lying on your bed when you don't want to smoke.
Yeah, but I don't like reading people's tweets about drugs.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to get an understanding of, you know, what you are and stuff, you know. I've just lit one now, so it's kind of first one. Of the night, so
right. But I find loads of tweets about drugs and drug culture. I find it really boring.
Yeah.
So the combination of drug culture and calling me a B word and a twat, yeah, that's what got you muted. Yeah, yeah. I'm happy with that.
Okay, you gonna unmute me just as a kind of a humane gesture? Because it's not going to really improve my life, but I don't know. I just really got into this show this week.
All right, I'll give you another chance.
Okay.
You're unmuted.
This is
there
like
we go.
The Human Zoo from about 2000.
Oh, yeah, big fan of Tommy Boyd's. Big fan of Tommy
Boyd's.
Yeah,
man, he's a legend.
He's an absolute legend. He's a big bit, you know, I nicked a lot of ideas from him and from Danny Baker and from Clive Bull and, you know, kind of morphed them into my own thing. You're unmuted, but you're on a yellow card. How's about that?
Okay.
Beautiful. That sounds like an absolute deal.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I just sent a private message to John Dredge, who's a very funny man and calls in the show sometimes, and we kind of chat privately. And I've just said, I feel uncomfortable. And I do feel uncomfortable tonight. It's an uncomfortable show, isn't it? It's a really uncomfortable show. Or maybe it isn't for you. Maybe it's not for you. But I do feel uncomfortable, and that's all right, isn't it? That's all right for me to feel uncomfortable. It means I'm alive. It means I'm experiencing things. I need to work back as to why I feel uncomfortable. I feel uncomfortable because of that first conversation with Darren. Second one with a different Darren made me laugh a lot. I feel a little bit upset by what happened. I'm still scratching my head as to how it escalated so quickly. And then, you know, just plenty of abuse on Twitter. And it's interesting that last call there. I don't know what's worse. What is the worst thing to do to someone? Is it to mute them or is it to block them? If you're blocked, you know about it. But blocking seems to be kind of a badge of merit, a badge of merit, I nearly said. I'm blocked by Julia Hartley Brewer and Steve Allen, and I'm kind of quite proud of those things because they're both obnoxious. So it seems to be kind of a badge of merit, but muting, I mean, it's just them shouting at the top of a cliff, isn't it, then? Maybe I'm thinking too much about it. Line one, you're on the wireless. Are you in the same room as your telephone? Because I can't hear you.
Good. A serious point, though. You know about these young kids and, like, you basically grabbing them. We do have to be very, very careful because I know someone who got done to it. And he said to the police, you know, boy, he fell over. But because there was, like, three of them that said he attacked him, he basically ended up with a warning. He got his name in the paper. Huh. As a result of that, he lost his job.
Really?
And the kids were back there the next night. It was shocking.
Yeah. Well, you know... if kids like that go around behaving in that way, they deserve everything they get. And quite frankly, I think the parents deserve a visit as well from the old Bill.
Yeah, I think the best thing to do, James, is basically grab her, get them in the house and then bum them. I mean, really?
Okay, that was a prank call from a mysterious caller to James Whale. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a nine,
so fine.
I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo, but somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead, I take my chances. I die for a living in the movies and TV.
Try and find that tune again. You had the tune and try and find it.
Oh, you're still there.
There we go. You're not. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. So my children have been introduced to video games this week. Got the Star Wars, the complete saga, the old 360 game. And also we bought Star Wars... The Force Awakens. Lego versions, of course, Lego. And watching 0844 499 1000, watching a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old who've never played video games before, it is the most frustrating thing. It's constantly, come back. No, not that. Oh, right, you stay there. You stay there. Come back this way. It's so frustrating. And because I'm not really... They play about half an hour, 40 minutes. And I will use that time to sit and read. Okay. So I'm not really following what they're up to on the screen. 08444991000. And they keep getting stuck, and they keep getting stuck in places. And I, because I've not watched where they've, I don't even know if they've come from the left or the right of the screen. So I don't know what's going on. So literally on day two of them playing video games, I've taught them cheating. Cheating. We started looking at walkthroughs on YouTube, you know, where people film themselves playing the game and how to do it. And so we started doing that. And part of me feels quite bad that day two of the boys playing video games, and they get stuck and they go, right, well, let's just get the computer on. Let's have a look. Let's have a look at where they need to go. Is that bad? It's cheating a little bit, isn't it? Well, they're not learning, like, cheats or anything. Yes, Line 1, you're on the wireless.
Hi, Ian.
Hello, Line 1.
You're all right. Can you hear me all right? I'm walking the dogs on a headset.
You're walking the dogs on a headset?
Not the dogs themselves. I'm using a headset to speak to the phone whilst walking with the dogs.
Fan-blooming-tastic. Yes.
Sorry, it's nice even to say. I listened to that call earlier, the one with Darren. Darren number one, shall we call
Darren
him?
Darren number one, yes.
I don't know what he did wrong in the first place, but it's not. I'm not a radio presenter, so, you know, from that perspective, I can't comment. But my interpretation of it was a bit like kicking a man when he's down. You'd clearly, I know it's not a contest, but the man was clearly beaten, but you just kept going at him, which is fine, because it's your show. But I think that's why people might have taken offence.
Well, this is interesting. I genuinely thought he was making a snoring noise when he came on. Right, and if he wasn't,
I can see why. Yeah, and yeah, I understand it, that. It sounded a bit like Caddick.
It did, yeah, exactly. I thought it was a Mickey take of Caddick. And if you weren't doing that, Darren, then I genuinely am sorry about that. Right, I am sorry about that. But I also did detect an attitude as well.
Yeah, he needed to. He seemed to get a bit into it. He needed to take a step back and just think.
Escalated,
you know, his light entertainment.
It escalated quickly. Here we go. I tell you what we're going to do. I tell you what we're going to do, right? And Darren is still listening, right? And even though he's called me a C-word on Twitter and all of that, right?
Which you shouldn't do.
No, which you shouldn't do. That's not nice. That's not nice. Darren, I am genuinely... This is Harry H. Harmon on Twitter. I am genuinely sorry. I'm genuinely sorry if you are upset. If you feel slighted in any way whatsoever by that call, you have my sincerest apologies. And I mean that from my actual heart. Now...
No, I think he should apologise for calling you the C-bomb.
I'm not going to press for an apology. I would like one, but I'm not going to press for one. That's entirely up to him. You can only do an apology if you mean it. And Darren, I genuinely... and I hope you can hear I'm being sincere. I'm genuinely sorry for any offence that may have been caused, and I would like to think that Darren and I got off on the wrong foot, and that he can be a contributor to the show. But if he chooses not to, that's entirely up to him as well, and that's a thing. So yeah, I'm sorry. How about that?
And he's still no. I mean, like I said, you know, I can see why he did it. But it was end of the day, he did get a bit sensitive about it, didn't he? He's to man up if I go into a Yorkshire town. But I'm looking forward to the weekend. I'm coming to your thing on Sunday.
Oh, you're coming down Sunday? Brilliant! All right, Knight, well, make sure you come and say hello.
That went the field. I can what do you call it? Get a selfie with you and everything.
You can get a selfie with me. There weren't many people there last time. So there were only about eight people there last time. Seriously, there were about eight people. It was dead awkward, but
I can put my legs up then on the seats. It'll be fine.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Stretch out. Enjoy yourself.
Cool. Right, I need to dash. I've got the dogs in the poo, so I need to pick it up.
All right, bye bye. Line two, you're on the wireless.
What is going on tonight?
Have I done the 22 break? I haven't. All right, no, fine. I don't know, but I'm genuinely... I'm going to say this. Genuinely, Darren, I apologise.
I don't think you need to apologise.
Well, but I have done. I would like an apology for being called a C-word,
yeah,
but...
I think you deserve one back.
Yeah, but I'm not going to push for it, because, you know, I can... One of the things I've learned, Andrew, as I've got older, is to say sorry. The next step is to not get yourself in situations where you have to apologise. That seems like Zen yeah. master level. Yeah. But I can, I can say sorry, and I am saying sorry.
What I think is, after his conversation last night, when you said you didn't like Anchorman, I think the world's turning against you.
Yeah. I think you could absolutely be absolutely right. Yeah.
I know you get like loads of tweets, but did you get mine the other day from my picture of Kung Fu Elliot's doppelganger?
Yeah, I did. Where did you spot that? Because I do remember that.
It were on the BBC Sport website.
Oh, yeah,
manager of Tottenham Hotspur. And didn't he just look like him?
I didn't think he did.
Did you not?
I didn't think he did. I mean, I only glimpsed it, but I didn't think he did.
Oh, I thought it was double, and it just brought it all back, and I had to watch it again.
Oh, well, it's good. It's good, that film. I must chase up what's his face and Thingy Bob to get the. I still haven't got the DVD, the blooming DVD from Canada yet. And we're gonna
ask. Is that it with the movie circle? Then are we?
Well, the fact it's called Film Ring, not Movie Circle.
Sorry.
That means it's not quite taken off. No, I think we will do more. We will do more. I've got to chase up the blooming DVD from Canada. Flipping heck. 08444991000.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Line one, you're on the wireless.
Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Pigpen, come on. Oh, yeah, 10-4, Pigpen, for sure, by golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown.
You going to sing it? Or is that it? Is that what we're getting?
Oh, 10-4, Pigpen, for sure, by golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown. Come
it's
on,
Flagtown.
Yeah, that's
it's
a big 10-4 there, Pigpen.
It's not Flagtown, it's Taco Town, because they're going down to Mexico.
Well, it's Taco Town, but I mean, I was down in Georgia. And...
Okay. Darren has accepted my apology. He's bemused that I might like one back from him. He says, I accept your apology. I am listening. You want an apology from me? My life. I just called in. Thanks for the Twitter hassle. I wouldn't mind one for being called the C word. Wouldn't mind one for that, but that's entirely up to you, Darren. That's entirely your choice. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you're more than welcome. Twitter's weird, isn't it? I'm going to come off it again. Sean has tweeted: alienating, blocking, and muting your own audience is a very odd way to go. And I've replied: not my audience. Arseholes, because that is I'm allowed to block and mute people on Twitter if I don't like what they're saying, aren't I? It's an odd thing, the etiquette of, and I know not all of you are on Twitter, so to talk about it is a weird thing to do. I know it's a little bit tedious, but it really is a thoroughly unpleasant environment, and I find it just kind of it's tainted, and it's quite poisonous. Now, your experience of Twitter may be significantly different to mine because of your number of followers you have, the number of people you follow, what you tweet, what you say, what you do, what you think. But my experience of it as somebody who has in the past been on television and is currently on radio, my experience is that people can be really just horrible, you know, really unpleasant and horrible. And they think that that's okay to call you a C. to tell you you're rubbish at your job, to tell you how to do your job, to tell you how to what you should be thinking. And it's an odd experience. And is it me being too sensitive? No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. And I have given it quite a lot of thought. And it doesn't look like Darren's going to apologise to me. And that's absolutely... no, I didn't call... Darren, I didn't call you an arsehole. Just before I was going to apologise for calling you a C, you just called me an... I didn't call you that, Darren. I didn't call you that at all. I was referring to God. You see? Do you see? Some people, whatever you say, they're going to hear what they want to hear. They're going to hear what they want to hear. So Darren isn't going to apologise for calling me a C word. And to him, that's acceptable. I find that a strange attitude. Let's go to line one. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Oh, hi, Ian. It's Ed. And I've just listened to you bang on about Twitter.
Yeah.
From a point of view of someone who's never had it, it's my cat in the background, sorry. I don't understand why you're still there.
Yeah,
go on. It's about promoting yourself sometimes and all that, but you also said 8 people turned up the other night, so it's not working.
No, 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 you're absolutely right. It was about 12 people,
I didn't mean that in a nice way.
I've never
had it in my life.
Yeah.
And yet all I hear is everyone I know who has it, bitches and moans and everything else, and I even think Facebook to a degree.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but if it's something that is causing you, don't sit there talking about how this and muting people and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Close the account down.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
No, and I'm agreeing. You're right.
When it's something that's bearing so much of relevance in your life.
Yeah.
That even say over your 3-hour show, you're talking about say 20 minutes of every single show every day, and yet what you're talking about is leaving it.
Yeah.
You know what? All these people that are causing you, and I can see how if someone drops a C-bomb on me, even if it's you're just a blah blah, you know, it hurts. Whether it's when the lights go off at night and you're thinking about it, or immediately that moment, and you're the type, not you, but one might be the type of person who gets angry, just drop it, mate. Because I can see that I like your show. But and I love the fact that the way you interact with the public on a different level to almost any other person who puts himself out there.
Mm.
But what I would do is get your PR. That's great, isn't it? Everyone see you've got PR. But run it like it's one of those bots. Do you follow Charlie Sheen on Facebook? Not a lot of people do. Well, millions do, but not a lot of people I know do. He used to have an account. Now it's just this bot that pops out stuff randomly to keep people interested. And occasionally it would drop a Charlie Sheen-related thing when he wants to earn money off it.
You're right.
You take it way too personally.
Yes, I do.
And some people can be on there and it's water off a duck's back.
Yeah.
And I just hate to see... I don't know you from Adam, but I hate to see anyone so personalised and targeted in some cases. And the way out of it is not to sit there talking about it, and I don't mean this in a nice way, just stop it and not have it on. I can get it on the phone somewhere, or I could get it through this. And you know what? Your relationship from everything, from your kids to everything, will get better. I'm telling you that. You can go back to it because it's like an addiction.
You're absolutely right.
My addictions, believe me.
Yeah.
But you've got to just say no. Like, if it was you were still having a J while you had the kids around, I know that's history in your life. But you've got to think of Twitter a little bit like that. It's your crack cocaine. When you want to get those vibes or those feelings, you're on there as a bit of a, like a sadist almost. Because you love it a little bit equally as much as hating it. But you've got to knock it on the head, mate.
That's the most astute description of my relationship with Twitter that I've ever heard. Thank you.
Good, because it's a long time coming, and sometimes I open my mouth and I don't need to, but it's just been coming to a point, and it's 4 minutes till the end of the show, and I just thought, geez, I've got to say something to him.
I really appreciate that.
Good.
Thank you.
Have a good one, mate.
Thank you, mate.
See ya.
Nice one. Thank you. Bye. Well, that's certainly hit a nerve. In a positive way, Ed. Thank you. I appreciate your honesty. Thank you for sharing. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Hey, Ian. It's Tom.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm shocked by how spot on that last caller was. Spot on. Absolutely, yeah, 100%.
Absolutely agree as well. Absolutely agree. But I was going to try and lighten the mood a little.
Yeah, go on.
I don't know many Darrens, so my attitude level's quite low. But you said the other night you had an earworm of a song that keeps going around in your head.
Yeah.
Right, it's such a coincidence you said it. So remind me of your one again.
When I put it in, my ting get wet. Oh, when you put it in, is it in yet?
That's fantastic. I love that. The one I've got is actually from your show, and I can't believe you mentioned it because I've been meaning to phone you to say I've got a little bit of inspiration. So you, forgive me, I don't know the names that well. I'm new to the show, but is it Alan Caddick or something? The Brummy Lad.
Yeah, the Brummy Lad. Yeah.
Right. So I can't do the voice, so I'm not going to do it. But in your head, you've got to do Glad to Be Gay in a slightly raspy Brummy accent. And it can't make it's got to make you smile. It's just really funny.
Singing, we're glad to be gay. Singing, we're happy this way.
Be that way.
Singing, you're glad to be gay. Singing, you're happy that way.
Hey! Thank you, Tom. Oh, man alive. But I can't get rid of Twitter. I've got 48,000 followers. He's right. 12 people turned up to the thing I did the other afternoon. He's right. I'm trying to think of clever comebacks and ways and I can't. He's absolutely spot on. Darren has apologised for calling me a C. I do apologise for calling you a C, but you are a knob. Okay, man. Yes, line one.
Me and Earl were hauling chickens on a flatbed out of Wiggins, and we spent all night on the uphill path of 37 miles of hell called Wolf Creek Pass, which is up on the Great Divide. We were sitting there sucking toothpicks and drinking knee-highs and onion soup mix, and I said, Earl, let's call him a mod to mother. Then down the other side, yeah, give him that a ride. Wolf Creek Pass, way up on the Great Divide, trucking on down the other side. Well, Earl put down his bottle, smashed his foot down on the throttle, and a couple of booze and 1,000 cubes and a 1948 Peterbilt screamed to life. We woke up them chickens. We roared up out of that shoulder, spraying pine cones, rocks, and boulders, and put a 400 head in them Rhode Island Reds and a couple of burnout roosters on the line.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and talk radio.
We'll get you talking.